Good evening. I will call the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero's Tuesday, November 24th meeting to order, and I think we're still working out the sound.
Yeah.
It looks like...
Testing.
Can everybody hear us out there? Wonderful. Let's start with the roll call.
Board Member Bayrou?
Here.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Here.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is community forum. Any member of the public can speak on any topic not on the agenda. Welcome. Please state your name.
My name is Tom Gaddis, and it's my privilege to lead us in prayer. I represent the Atascadero Ministerial Association. Love praying for this council, and thank you for your good works. I thought I'd pray a short prayer. But it's inspired by what I have before me. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln, you may...
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Board Member Fonzie, seconded by Board Member Bayrou. Roll call, please.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly. Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We're in such a big hurry. We just wanted to get to you. Please take it away, Pastor.
It seems fitting with the holidays, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, a few excerpts from President Lincoln's proclamation I thought would be in order. Start tonight. The year, he begins, that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set us apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And so, Father, as those words just ring in our ears, as they provide just a foundation for this prayer, I just want to say that we're not here tonight to ask you for anything, but as an American people, we just want to say thank you. 2009's had certainly, Lord, some hard things in it for us individually, but Lord, behind it all, you have more than blessed. You've blessed this city. We're so grateful for it. We're grateful for this council, for this city staff, the workers who...
And we continue on with our community forum portion of the Redevelopment Agency. We'll be starting the city council meeting shortly. Anyone else wishing to address redevelopment? Seeing none, we'll close the community forum. We have no consent calendar or public hearings. We do have a management report on tourism, events, and marketing action plan. Mr. McKinney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The council had a goal to consolidate our tourism events and marketing effort. We've been working at that for several months, and back in July, we brought forth a proposal to consolidate those. We looked at the city marketing and events tourism work, the work of the Redevelopment Agency, the work of the Chamber of Commerce, the work of Main Street, VCB, and others that participate in these tourism and marketing activities through the year. We recommended at that time a coordination approach where we believed that Main Street had evolved to a more tourism organization, and we would like to propose a pilot project with Steve Martin, who is the Main Street Executive Director, to combine forces, consolidate, and provide a tourism marketing and events program. At that time, the biggest impacts to this consolidation, if you will, would be on Main Street, where we would modify their program by in this consolidation, and their staff would become essentially the staff for this new tourism effort, and their support, administrative support, would be therefore through a contractual relationship. It also would have a big impact on the city. We eliminated the Atascadero Committee on Tourism and took away assignments of individual staff members in the marketing and tourism area. In the redevelopment agency, we combined those efforts. So we were really looking at a total program of about $133,000 that we assembled that would be a marketing effort with Mr. Martin. And then we had proposed a $10,000 to continue funding Main Street and that program. The Main Street program came to the City Council meeting when we talked about this consolidation, and they wanted some additional time to evaluate their potential for providing the tourism services. Go to the next slide. In the agreement, that would set forth the expectations and funding of Main Street, and it has associated with it a work program to identify those items really out of our downtown revitalization plan. Although I must happily report, and you may hear this from Main Street, most, if not practically all, of the initiative in the downtown revitalization plan have been completed or initiated. And so that this agreement would continue our relationship with Main Street, and we're proposing that at a $30,000 level as opposed to the $10,000 level that I had originally proposed. The second document is a contract with S.W. Martin. That would be the $133,000 contract we provide. It also sets forth work programs. In this initial year, I think there will be a lot of work to understand exactly where it is we can and will be going with this program. The main focus in the beginning times will be to flush out the tourism marketing strategy that we had conducted and the strategies from the ADE report, the Economic Development Strategy report, as they relate to tourism. And then the third document is a memorandum of understanding between the agency and Main Street to provide for administrative support. So it essentially, we've contracted with S.W. Martin to provide events, tourism, and marketing services, and in that program, they will also provide administrative support services for Main Street. So regarding the funding, before we were at a total package of about $143,000, we've understood the concerns of Main Street, their work program. The work program we've given them, plus they have additional work items, and we believe we understand where their concern for what this unexpected change and how it may affect their organization, and they're interested in a funding level of $30,000, and we support that. The consolidated approach, while it may be a little more expensive going in, we really believe will be an answer as we've come out. We've had a fragmented marketing and tourism approach for many years now, and it has been difficult to put all of our eggs, if you will, in one basket to really focus those efforts and capitalize on branding and the other things that we think Mr. Martin will bring to us. This is indeed a pilot program because we're sort of building this tourism effort in the city as we go, so we're asking you to create...
Any board member questions?
Question.
Go ahead, Ellen.
Initially, you had proposed that Main Street continue to get $10,000, and they're requesting $30,000. Has Main Street outlined how they're planning to use that money? Or why they're requesting 30 versus what they used to get, which was around 10?
I believe they have that work program for you this evening. And I think that We originally calculated the $10,000, and I think as you can see in the staff report, we were looking essentially from the revenue side of this thing, what it is we're paying, as opposed to what contingencies and what impacts to the program they lose. So without having directly your an executive director, there will be some associated costs that will come up to Main Street that don't exist now because the relationship will be slightly different. There is also a full-time Main Street director right now that seeks funding from other sources and other areas, and we're talking about taking a significant portion of that time and redirecting toward tourism, marketing, and events. So I think that they can give you some specific programs. They did review with me the work plan that we had, that we provided, and they did tell me that they had conducted a goal program and that they had an aggressive work plan that they were going to try to show you tonight.
So if we okay an extra $20,000, what are the plans of where we have to cut back? Because our general theme has been if we're going to fund something, we have to take away from somewhere else.
In reviewing the redevelopment area budget, and remember, this is a program where we've tried to consolidate the various funds that we use for tourism, marketing, and events. So there's a variety of funds that are affected by this change. What we would do what cuts would occur if we take this action is we would reduce some of the landscaping downtown. It won't have a significant impact, but as you know, all the urns, we plant them with new flowers regularly. We will do that less. We will cut back on the marketing budget or the marketing operation that the redevelopment agency sustains that is separate from the S.W. Martin project. We will also reduce some of the downtown maintenance, like we will not steam clean the sidewalks and the sunken gardens, and we will set aside money from to come back to you and find another source of funds.
Other questions? And my understanding, I think it was a good compromise staff has worked on, and it's probably something this board can support. I think it's been a desire to consolidate basically lots of categories of expenditures in this area of tourism and marketing, and this consolidates that. My understanding is, though, that it is an increase in funding for Main Street. If we looked at a break-even, we've essentially transferred the costs of the staff over to the city, which used to be funded out of redevelopment. Those funds, unfortunately, were taken away from us. Many of the redevelopment funds we've lost, and so we're basically guaranteeing to backfill those funds, but we're transferring those costs over to redevelopment. And that's what's, I think, not understood by some folks, that while we are substantially taking over a lot of the costs, then the $10,000 amount would be the break-even amount. We are looking at a plan to augment by $20,000 and do more in this area that fits our plan, but it would be in the area of marketing and promotion. Is that a close assumption?
I believe that's close, although I think that my estimate that the break even was $10,000 was probably short-sighted, in that there will be some costs they incur to continue business without having full-time staff that you could have them do that work.
Sounds good. Other board member questions? Ms. Fonzie.
Logistically, where will we find Steve Martin? Will he be in the Main Street office, or will he be over at City Hall part-time? How will this work?
Steve's going to operate, or Mr. Martin and any of his employees are an independent contractor. So we won't control where or at what times they do their work. We'll control what kind of product it is that they provide. So I would imagine that, or I know that Mr. Martin will have office in his current official location, which I think is his home, the Main Street office, and here.
And you alluded to the fact that Main Street gets a portion of their funds from other sources. When Mr. Martin was working on it, he was looking for grants possibly or other sources. Will this continue with him out of the picture and not doing that portion? And this will become Main Street's goal to...
It's going to be very successful. And with success, it should bring in more sales tax, TOT taxes. Have you been able to determine what amount that money might be?
No, we haven't, although we agree with your assessment there, and in Mr. Martin's contract, that's how we were going to use those as benchmark performance standards. And so we were going to try to come up with a way to index those as we started this contract so we could see what sort of difference we're making.
Thank you. Mr. Kelly brings up a good point. Part of what has led into this consolidation is we did our economic study, we did our tourism study, and it's often indicated that there's an 8-to-1 return on average for marketing activities, especially when we're focusing on transient occupancy tax. So I think there's some data that supports this effort, and though it'd be very costly to do the microanalysis in our particular case. But my understanding is the suggestion of staff is we look at this and review it in 6 months and see how we're doing. Is that realistic, that 6 months is enough time for you to get a feel for how this program is going?
Absolutely, we would agree with that.
Okay. Other questions? Councilmember
Clay. Yeah, is there any problem with Steve using the Main Street office for the dual purpose? I mean,
no, we don't believe there are. We think that's a good use.
Okay.
Especially since we own the building. It's... Yes. Seeing no other board member questions, it's customary to go with the folks that are on the agenda item. I would ask Mr. Martin of S.M. Martin and Associates to share first, and then any of the chair of the Main Street Board or any board members sharing next, and we'll open up to the public. Welcome, Mr. Martin.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Steve Martin, and it's my pleasure to represent tonight, as I have for the last 7 years, the interests of the Board of Directors of the Atascadero Main Street Organization. And it's an interesting time we live in. I think that the city realizes that in the changing of revenues and expenses and the challenges you face with the state and the very real necessity to consolidate efforts and to get the most bang for your buck for the citizens of Atascadero. I think the project and the program that's been placed before you tonight fits that definition very well. I've put together a little presentation, and can we get that started? When I first arrived here, we faced some challenges. We faced challenges in staffing, funding, programs and projects, and special events. Let's see if this works. Yeehaw. Under staffing, if you'll remember back in the good old days, when I walked into the office, we had already experienced multiple executive directors of the Atascadero Main Street program. The chair was still warm when I sat down, and one of the major concerns of the council seated at that time was, how long would I hang around? And so that was one of the challenges facing Main Street in the early days. Our volunteer recruitment and volunteer management in those days was virtually non-existent. I had to go out and start finding people who were interested in actually volunteering for special events and volunteering for Main Street committees. And basically, we had to rebuild the organization from the ground up. We had very limited communications, both internally between the Main Street office and our downtown merchants, and also externally in getting public relations out to the general public through the media and through various other avenues. We had a very limited website presence. It was dated. The information was in error, and we had to completely revamp that. In the area of funding, when I took over, the Main Street organization was basically 100% dependent upon the RDA. Our entire budget went to paying for overhead, for my salary, for the cost of power and lights, insurance, things like that. Anything else that we did, we had to go out and find sponsors or some other way of underwriting it. In those days, we had no direct fundraising activities. We had basically lived hand to mouth, month to month. We had no active recruitment of associates, and at that point in time, we had no grants coming into the bank. Programs and projects, we had a very small, unstaffed office. I was the only person there. Very weak public relations, as I said before. We had very few, if any, business services. Main Street's pretty well known for its promotions, But promotions is really only one-fourth of the equation when it comes to a Main Street program. Another big issue is business services, business education services, other ways of helping to retain business in the Main Street district. And very little of that existed in those days. And we had few, if any, downtown improvement projects that had been undertaken by the Main Street program. The special events calendar, basically when I showed up here, the people that work special events were the board members and a few others, and they were flat burned out. There was a calendar with something happening every month, and it was cluttered, it was inefficient, and the promotional calendar just wasn't working. People were tired, they didn't want to go on. In fact, I think I showed up in September, and that year they were actually considering not doing Winter Wonderland because we just can't work up the steam. But we went ahead and did it because it was of our own money to make improvements to that building to make sure that it showed off well in the center of town and spoke well of Main Street. So we've had a significant facility upgrade over the last year. In resource development, we kind of crested along with the rest of the economy. Over the last 3 years, we were the beneficiaries of several grants, a couple of large ones, a few small ones, more than $105,000 in grants in the last 3 years. That does not include the RDA's generous $25,000 matching funds last year, which we used to increase local events and start new events. We've acquired new critical equipment. When I started here, every time we had to do something, we had to go out and beg, borrow, or steal. We never really stole anything. We had to beg or borrow whatever we needed to put an event on, whether that was tables, chairs, anything we needed, we had to go out and find them. We have managed to acquire tables. We've acquired a professional stage, which has been well used in the last year by Main Street and other community groups. And we actually have property now that we can use to put on special events, which has made it very very much easier to do than in the past. I'm very happy to say that because the quality of the events has gone up, our event sponsorships have increased. Most of our events do break even. The sponsors, our business sponsors, continue to be faithful to us, and that list has grown, which I'll share with you in just a minute. And we have put together a formal program of bringing on associate members and selling associate memberships. In fact, we probably have as many or more associates as we have regular members downtown. That may change with the fact that the downtown assessment has been set at zero as a stimulus program for downtown merchants. We're not sure where that program is going to go. But in the past, that has been a successful a growth mechanism for Main Street. Projects and programs. One of the things that all of the councils over the last 7 years have said to me is we want organizations working together. We have too many organizations that do their own little thing, and we're just not getting the type of efficiency we need to make these things successful. So we've been very successful in coordinating with other organizations, other nonprofits, the Chamber of Commerce. Sometimes we're the lead agency and they work with us. Sometimes they're the lead agency, we work with them. And we've come a long way in cooperation with other organizations. We've put together for the first time this last year a new system of street banners downtown. If you've been downtown in Atascadero, you see the holiday banners that are up on Traffic Way. They're up on Entrada, West Mall, East Mall, around the Sunken Gardens. They're very attractive, and they're adding to the holiday ambiance. We have also added to the ambiance in the city park during the holidays with the rope lights, and this year we'll be putting up even more deck grants and how to run special events, and that was very successful. We've implemented new sales promotions downtown, enlisting local merchants on an ever-increasing basis to participate in these events. Again, back in the early years, it was very difficult to get cooperation from our downtown merchants, but again, I'm very glad to say that as time rolls on, we acquire more and more allies, more and more merchants are coming on board and becoming more aggressive in promotion, and we assist them with that. The Main Street program to date has also supported facade improvement assistance. In fact, in at least two cases, out of Main Street funds, we have actually funded facade improvement projects in the downtown area. We've completely updated our website. It's totally modern with audio and video. We have an internet radio station on the air right now that broadcasts our message not only to the local area, but to 70 metro markets around the country and 100 foreign countries. We have about 5,000 listener hours per year on that radio station. And we also have a website that has community videos which depict such things as Colony Days and Winter Wonderland and other activities, which has been very successful in introducing people to the activities we have in Atascadero, and also for Main Street been very successful in helping us to recruit vendors for those activities. Because once they go online and actually see the movies of the events, they get a better understanding of what we're doing and become very interested in being involved. Looking to the future, our board of directors sees that the components for success hinge on three areas. We have to recognize the success of the past, and I'm sure I'm not telling anybody any secret here when I say that it's very easy for us as human beings to forget the good things that have happened in the past. We're always concerned about the problems that we have to deal with and what has to be done next, but we need to really look back and see what successes that we have acquired. We need to leverage the assets that we have right now for the future, and we need to plan for future success. If we say, gosh, we've done such a great job, now we can go home and watch TV, then we're going to fall behind the power curve again and lose out. The Atascadero Main Street Board of Directors does recognize the success of the city and staff in these areas, and Mr. McKinney alluded to this in preparing for this presentation. I went back to the revitalization plan of the year 2000. I don't know how many of you have read that recently. But I went to that plan with the intent of making a list of the things that we still had to do to get that plan finished. And I was startled at how few items there are. That plan needs to be wrapped up with a big red bow on it and say, you know what, this is an amazing success story. This is an incredible gift to the community. We have significant downtown streetscape improvements. We have that beautiful Sunken Gardens redesign. We have new street lights, new sidewalks, new signage down, attentiveness, and really a lot of courage to make that happen. So we need to recognize that success in the past. Looking to the future, we need to leverage our assets. We have that beautiful Sunken Gardens, and we've begun utilizing it even more this last year. We've had several new events in the Sunken Gardens. We've taken advantage of the improvements, the walkways, the lights, and it's really becoming the focal point of activity in the downtown, and that needs to continue. When people say, where is it happening in Atascadero, one of the primary areas has to be in the Sunken Gardens, and that's beginning to happen. We can actually tell when people call our office about special events, whether they're in town or out of town, because they'll say, where is this event happening? And we'll say, it's in the Sunken Gardens. Where's that? And the more times we hear that question, the happier we are, because that means we have people calling from outside of town who are planning to come into town. And when they come into town for special events, they eat in our restaurants, they stay in our hotels, they shop in our businesses. We look forward to supporting and enhancing our existing special events and developing new ones. We want to piggyback on the improvements downtown, and this alludes back to our banner program where you have the new streetlights downtown. We could not have done this. For years and years and years, the merchants downtown said, we want banners on the streets. We want banners on the streets. Well, there was really no place to mount them. But with the new streetlight system, we have a perfect place to mount them. And so that's one way of piggybacking on downtown improvements that have been made available by the city. We need to continue to do that. It's very important that we assist our restaurants and retailers through these difficult times, make sure they have opportunities to make money, they have opportunities to attract shoppers, they have opportunities to advertise cooperatively and effectively. We need to work to improve parking. And I know here some years back we had a parking study here in Atascadero. It says we have no parking problem. We have 3,000 spaces downtown. Well, that may be true, but sometimes the parking in some of those areas is pretty critical. The good news is I think that we can work with these property owners downtown to provide for cooperative parking areas and maximize the spaces we have before we have to look at the hard picture of capital outlay to actually construct new parking. We need to continue first floor appearance reviews for office uses, support the Office of Economic Development here that you've established within the city, because that's going to be instrumental in retaining and enhancing business downtown, and of course support the implementation of the design toolkit, which is an extension of what one of the jobs that Main Street has traditionally, and that is to provide guidelines for people that want to locate in the downtown and make it easy for them to do that while at the same time fitting in with the ambiance and the look and the feel and the spirit of downtown. Planning for the future, we need resource development in Main Street. And regardless of what happens here tonight, off by saying that we had difficulty attracting volunteers in the early days. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've been blessed with people volunteering for our program. That has really grown. In Winter Wonderland this year, we'll probably have over 60 people who are volunteering to be a part of Winter Wonderland and help with the work to put that on. Huge success story for us, we believe. I believe personally, because fewer things that I don't have to carry around, but that needs to continue, because that produces the base of support, that produces the attitude that Main Street is worthwhile and that it's something that we want to spend our time and effort in supporting. So it's not just a matter of reducing labor problems, it's a matter of building a support base for Main Street. We're well on our way, but we need to continue. We can't let down on that. In program development, we need to go further with enhanced business services. We need to provide more guidance in the areas of finances, more guidance in the area of cooperative advertising. We need to help people learn more about the most efficient way to set up the outside of their buildings so it's attractive, the most efficient way to set up the inside of their buildings so when people come in, they're more likely to buy their products. We need continued cooperation with the Chamber and other groups. That's going to happen. In sales promotions, we want to continue to enhance our street events. We sort of have two different types of events. We have street events, which are basically designed to bring people into stores specifically to buy. They're kind of shopping events. And then we have community events like Winter Wonderland, where we are basically putting on a social event. And so what we need to do is we need to enhance our effort in providing sales promotional events to directly assist businesses downtown. Parking. We think that we need to liaison with the RDA, property owners and merchants, and develop cooperative parking agreements. If you drive around downtown Atascadero, you'll see many areas where there are empty parking spots and signs that say park here and die. And we've got to stop that. We have to get together and say the most important thing is to provide convenient parking for our customers. We need to get together and identify those parking spots, take down those no parking signs, and say, please park here. Please park here and shop in our stores. We want to identify new parking opportunities. There are areas that we can bring online to provide new parking inventory. And then we need to educate our downtown merchants more, and that's beginning to happen, but we need to educate our downtown merchants more on parking usage. Every single space down there has a dollar value on it in the amount of sales tax it can generate. If a customer parks in front of a store and they buy goods and services, they generate sales tax. If someone who works parks in front of the store, not likely they're going to generate sales tax. So those are banners, signage, and decorations. Support, promote, implement city design toolkit concept. In summary, you get less than 5 minutes. I lied to you. The city has significantly upgraded the appearance of the downtown. You add it up, you've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars making downtown look good over the last 7 years, and you need to feel good about that. We asked you to do it, and you did it. Main Street has evolved into a successful organization. We've come from a storefront operation with a revolving door of executive directors and a very small support base to a very successful organization that stages successful events and is making good inroads into merchant services. Together, our organizations have accomplished more than they could have separately. The city could not have done this without us. We could have not done it without the city. In conclusion, the RDA and Main Street partnership has been a good investment. Every council that I've been in front of over the last 7 years has been 5-0 in support of Main Street. And I think that we've proven that was a good investment and a good decision on the part of all those councils. Significant progress has been made towards downtown revitalization. Look at your revitalization plan and see how few things are left to be done. Continuation of this partnership will be beneficial for economic development in the future. It can only get better if we continue the partnership. Change is hard. We live in hard times. We need to collaborate. We need to cooperate. We need to get the biggest bang for our buck. And I think that the proposal that has been hammered out between your city manager and my board of directors represents the best option to accomplish that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board member questions? Ms. Bayrou. Okay, we'll go with Councilman Clay first.
Okay. Steve, is there going to be any problem with doing the two jobs, wearing the two hats?
No, that question was, when this issue first arose, that question was asked, and I and my ego said there would be no problem. Since then, I've had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. McKinney and sit down with my board members and hammer out sort of a modus vivendi on how this is really going to work. And I think we've worked out a way that this is all going to work together, and I'm going to be able to effectively represent Main Street while at the same time developing the city's tourism plan.
And you're going to have some time to sleep, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My wife made me promise that.
The internet radio fascinates me. Could you give us like a minute on what's going on there?
Internet radio is a growing phenomenon in the internet world. The internet is not just text anymore. It's audio and it's motion pictures. And the internet radio station industry has been growing dramatically over the last 5 years. It's sort of like traditional radio, but instead of tuning it in on your radio, you can listen to it on your desktop computer. You can listen to it on your iPhone. And the time to set up. Once set up, it's sort of semi-automatic. It's done by computer. The music is selected according to a set of rules that the operator selects, and then it runs pretty much unattended except when you want to add new program material, such as when we first started the internet radio station, one of the benefits that we provided to our members downtown was that we produced radio commercials for them and ran them for free on the internet radio station. So that takes time. But once the basic work of setting the station up and getting it run is done, then the lion's share of the work is done.
And you do the commercials and stuff?
I do.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Board Member Bayrou.
And Steve, I don't know if you want to address this or if Barbie does. So there's the difference from the first time it came to us was $10,000, and now it's $30,000. So where is that? How is that money going to be spent? Is it going to be sucked up in overhead or
right.
personnel or promotions?
Right.
What's going to happen there?
Ensuing conversations since that first presentation has identified the fact that our basic overhead is more than $10,000 a year. So without a larger grant, if you will, than $10,000, then our first effort has to go into making money to pay the bills, to pay the lights, to pay the insurance, rather than helping the businesses. The remainder of the money, of the $30,000, is going to go towards supporting existing sales promotion events and developing new sales promotion events and business services for downtown merchants.
Other board member questions? Well, I think on behalf of the entire board, we do appreciate your work in the last few years, and Main Street has come a long ways, and obviously folks have a lot of confidence in you. So thank you, Mr. Martin. We
thank
now
you.
Open it up to, I believe we have our Main Street board chair, Ms. Boots.
Yes, Barbie Boots, chairman of the Main Street board. I just want to follow that by saying thank you for giving us the time to come back and meet with our board, and then we had a committee set up that who met with Wade, Larry Weissong, and Ron Reisman. And so that gave us all an opportunity to really investigate and communicate, mainly communicate, so that we knew, you know, where we stood and what we could offer, what we could continue to offer. And who am I missing? Anybody? No, I think those are the ones that are present. Greg Rabat is currently on the board, and our new pet. Dirk Dole. Oh, and Wendy. And Wendy's not here tonight, but Wendy has the Red Tree Gallery. And so we have a good, strong board, and we really all appreciate the fact that you gave us a little more time, extended this so that we could come prepared. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see how strong they are, and I don't know how long you're going to make them stand out there, but I think you can be seated, and we do thank you for your service to our community, and we have seen it's been a strong Main Street board, and we've seen a lot of progress the last few years, so we do thank all of you. Is there any other member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing no one approach, I'll close the public comment portion, bring it back to the board. Any motion or discussion? Member Kelly.
Yes, I'd just like to make a quick comment. I'm very excited about this program. I know when I first got on the council, we all of us started talking about it, and now it's finally come together. I'm excited with both portions of it. I think we got the best man to run the job with Steve Martin, and I also endorse the $30,000 amount to the Main Street. We have to give them enough money to be successful, which they will. And since I've been on the city council with Tom and even last week, Roberta and Wade, we've been going down to the Economic Vitality Corporation. And I believe a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Manchak was here, and the talk of the county is Atascadero. You know, we have become business friendly, and the opportunities are here. And I think this program is just part of the puzzle that's going to complete the whole thing and make us a more successful town. So I fully endorse it.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Clay.
Yeah. Well, the suggestion was made to revisit it in 6 months, and I would be more inclined to do that. You know, a $15,000 to Main Street, revisit it in 6 months. It's a pilot program. See how it's going, and go from there. That's what I'd prefer, because, you know, I am concerned about the money. We just can't be doling it out
sure
real easily, so I would prefer to do that.
Well, let me, just for clarification with staff, my understanding is, even though we'd look at it, it says a 30,000.
So the 15,000 is absolutely true, and we could come back in 6 months with a work plan and budget proposal for you.
Okay. Member Fonzie.
I, too, would be more comfortable with revisiting it in 6 months. That I understand where you're going with this to a certain extent, but it's almost in a way like signing a blank check because we don't have something before us to tell us specifically what you're going to spend it on. I would be more comfortable reviewing this in 6 months once you're back on the ground and you have a goal in mind and you know how you're going to implement it. I would like to see the specifics, and then we would vote on it again to renew it.
That was almost a motion.
I'll make one.
Go ahead.
Make a motion that we authorize the executive director to execute a contract with S.M. Martin and Associates for a pilot program for tourism, marketing, and event services not to exceed $133,000 and waive the formal process consistent with Section 3.0F of the city's purchasing policy, and determine funding level and authorize the executive director to execute a memorandum of understanding and an amended agreement for downtown revitalization services with Atascadero Main Street.
I'll second. And that's for 6 months?
Yes, for the 6 months period.
And $15,000, right?
$15,000 with a review at the June-July area.
Very good. So we have a motion mm-hmm. by Ms. Fonzie and a second by Board Member Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just comment as well, this is really a culmination of all of our research that has pointed us in this direction of consolidating and really pulling together. And I think Main Street has really shown some leadership in pulling other organizations together. And so we look forward to this going forward from this point. So on that, I will ask for a roll call vote.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member Barreau?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Quickly getting back to our agenda. We now have board announcements and reports. Any board member saying none? We'll adjourn to the city council meeting. Would you entertain a 5-minute break? Or?
We'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll commence. That was a real short 5 minutes, wasn't it? Well, welcome. And just so you know, this is the last meeting I'll be conducting because the next meeting, Mayor Pro Tem will be taking over as mayor. So it's an honor to have this last meeting. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley? I don't think it was on the microphone, but...
Oh, okay.
You're here. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Here.
And Mayor Barreau?
Here.
All present.
Need a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie and seconded by Councilmember Clay. Roll call.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Here.
Mayor Barreau?
Here.
5-0, motion passes.
Our next item is presentations, and we have two tonight. First one is a commendation recognizing George Dodge for outstanding contributions to the community, and Councilmember O'Malley will be reading us the commendation.
Thank you, and I do very much appreciate Mayor allowing me to read this, as I have known George Dodge for many years and very active in our community, very much loved by many persons, and we really do thank you for your service. I'm going to go ahead and read all of the whereases because it does cover so many things that George is so... stick it out, George. Sorry. In fact, George, would you approach the lectern and be honored and recognized? Whereas George Dodge has been the executive director of the Community Link, our Family Resource Center, since 1998, and is a current member of the Board of Trustees for the Atascadero Unified School District, and since retiring as a school administrator, he had devoted much of his life and service to the community that touches so many lives. And whereas George Dodge took the Community Link from a resource and referral agency to a full-service Family Resource Center on the campus of the Atascadero Junior High School, collaborating with multiple agencies and helped build the safe system of care, bilingual support for families, Families in Crisis, and Teens at Work, an asset-based program where teens learn work skills. Georgia's public service and thoughtful civic leadership have made an indelible mark on Atascadero and beyond. And whereas George Dodge has promoted and provided leadership for interagency coordination of services to avoid duplication and maximize public access to services in one place, and has helped bring services to communities surrounding Atascadero, and whereas George Dodge served on the Atascadero Youth Task Force for over 10 years and has been an advocate for socially, and whereas George Dodge accomplished all of these things while retired and working in a part-time capacity, although the devotion of his time was nearly limitless. Now, retiring as the Lynx Executive Director, we want to thank him for his assistance on many community projects and the years of service that have benefited the community as a whole. And through cooperation and friendship, he has helped to make Atascadero a better place. And now, therefore, on this 24th day of November 2009, the City Council of the City of Atascadero hereby commends and thanks George Dodge for his countless efforts and contributions on behalf of the community and congratulates him on his many accomplishments that benefit the less fortunate in the community. For his outstanding service to Atascadero, thank you, George.
Wow.
Come on and get a picture.
George, do you want to come get a picture for the paper?
Let's
get folks.
That's for you.
We all
squeezed in?
Yes. You got to look that way, George. There's the camera. No, you're okay. Just we'll get out of your way.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, George, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Would you like to say a few words?
Do you want to speak a few words?
Ask for some money for your favorite project.
No.
I'd just like to express my appreciation for this. It's been a labor of love. This is the third time I retired. It's unfortunately Larry's not still here because he said he wouldn't go to any more retirement things for me. So he must have decided to leave. And if anybody wants to support families, like he said, we can always use money over there, especially now that I'm going. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Well, thank you, George. That's quite a lot of work for one person, don't you think? Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, you know, what comes to mind is who's going to fill his shoes? Boy, that's going to be a difficult job. But, you know, I had an opportunity to work with George a little bit, and he gets the job done, man. He's a bulldog. He gets right after it. So thank you, George, for all your effort.
Bless. We had a great Calling Days this year. I think everybody would agree we had lots of positive feedback. A lot of changes this year. We changed the parade route. We had 8 marching bands. We had a drum line. We had a field show competition. We had a new collaboration between Tent City and the Historic Society. We had a Colony Community Sing-Along. Our fundraising efforts were successful, but Colony Days Committee, as many other organizations, will have to focus on fundraising next year in order to make sure that this holiday continues to be successful in the future. We've got a good start. We've already started planning next year's event. We're not going to wait until a couple of months before to get that going, and we will have an annual dinner in January or February to set a theme for next year's event. So rather than ramble on as I did before, I did put together a little video for Colony Days, and if we can get that rolling, folks can get a taste of what it was like this year. For people to construct and enter more complex floats to make it a more colorful parade. And Warren, if you'd click that second window, you get a preview of what's coming up in December.
It's just around the corner. Winter Wonderland in downtown Atascadero, Friday night, December 11th. Bigger and better this year. Three snow slides. The skating rink is back, and a Christmas castle, too. The Sierra Summit Bunny Hill, bounce houses, fire engine rides, the Elks Little Train, lots of food and music and arts and crafts, and Santa Claus himself. Winter Wonderland, December 11th, 5 to 9 p.m., downtown Atascadero. Admission is free. See you there.
Happy holidays from Atascadero!
That commercial will be running on three different television stations. We have about four or five radio stations running advertising and a couple of newspapers. We're going to have tremendous coverage for Winter Wonderland this year. It's going to be bigger than ever before, and we're expecting a huge number of people downtown on Friday, December the 11th. We have over 60 sponsors, businesses, and individuals that are supporting Winter Wonderland this year, and a whole lot of people come together to make this possible, so we're really excited about it. Winter Wonderland and Colony Days, great holidays in Atascadero, both of them growing, both of them gaining regional appeal. Anybody that would like to volunteer to help with either one can call the Atascadero Main Street office at 462-0177. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Did you want to make a comment?
Okay.
All right. That was something good happening in our downtown. All right, so we'll move to our consent calendar. These are all items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial. And we have five items on there tonight. First one being the City Council meeting draft minutes of October 27th. Second is the July 2009 accounts payable and payroll. Number three is August 2009 accounts payable and payroll. Number four is September 2009 accounts payable and payroll. And number five is the road closure and tow-away zone for the Winter Wonderland. Anyone want to pull any of those items? No? Anyone from the public want to pull those items? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council and I'll accept a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, motion by Councilmember Clay and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, with the exception of number one, I was absent that night.
Okay, and Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor Bayrou?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Next up is our updates from our city manager, Mr. McKinney.
Mayor and Council, we have three updates tonight. First, I placed at your desk tonight the letter from the website. It's listed toward the bottom of the page. It says new, and you'll be able to see the letter.
There are six comments, six areas that they noted, changes that they needed to it. Most notably is number five toward the end of the packet, where they say that our creek setback or creek buffer areas are insufficient and that they want a greater creek buffer area. We're going to bring this item back to you on December 8th. We are contacting the regional board at this time to see what sort of options we have and how we can proceed with this. We know that the creek setbacks was a significant community issue. We hope to have good information for you on the December 8th council meeting. The other two items, Warren Frace is going to update you on.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. Just a couple quick updates on some development projects that are going on, specifically economic development projects. The Walmart project is getting ready for resubmittal. We've been working with the project applicant, engineer, and their architect on the resubmittal package. Last week, we met with the architect, and he gave us some drawings, which are on the screen here, of the new architectural concept that they'll be proposing in Atascadero. The idea is to scale down the building. The building is likely going to be in about the 120,000 square foot range. It'll not have the tire and lube in it any longer, and the merchandise area will be a little smaller. Still will have the grocery store component. But the overall approach to their buildings is to scale them down so they're a little bit more pedestrian scale, a lot more architectural detailing, and amenities are incorporated in the building. So we do expect the application to be resubmitted in the next week or so, and then we'll be briefing the council on the next steps in terms of getting the public participation and EIR process moving again on the Walmart project. And then on the Colony Square project, I've been in contact with the construction supervisor out there from Specialty Construction. Right now, they expect to be doing the underground plumbing work and electrical work the week of December 7th, which is about a week and a half away, and they expect to be doing concrete work the following week. So Colony Square Theater is obviously moving forward, and we'll start to see a lot more work out there in the site in the next coming week or so. That'll conclude my report.
Warren, I think we have a couple questions for you. Councilmember O'Malley?
Thank you. On the Del Rio project, that still includes the two restaurants well, or is
yes,
it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay?
Now, basically, that was my question. I heard that they were going to be two additional pads, but they weren't going to be in the front like was on the original plan. They were going to be to the side. That's
correct.
That's the story I got. Okay. Thank you.
So to clarify, Warren, the first opportunity the public will have to see this or to come to a meeting to speak about it will be when? Do we have an idea?
Well, we don't know yet just because we haven't got the full package in. As we get the package in, hopefully next week, then we'll start to lay out a timeline. So I'm imagining it's sometime early in the first of the year that we'll be having some outreach meetings. The information as it comes in is public information. We'll be providing that information in City Hall so somebody could come in and look at the plans here.
Okay. Councilmember Fonzi?
Is it possible to put any of this information on our website, for instance, any renderings or drawings that you have or that are made available in the near future?
Yeah, what we plan on doing, when it does come in, we will issue a press release and attach the site plans and any elevations that we get, and then we post that on the website so the public can download the press release as well. I don't know if the architecture is actually going to come in next week with the site plans. There may be a little lag there.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, one more question from Councilmember Clay.
Maybe you covered it, but what I'm hearing is like it's going to be 120,000 square feet or something in that. Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for that report. Is that it for you, Mr. McKinney?
Yes.
Okay. Move right along to community forum. And this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter that's not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. And you have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record. Thank you.
Hi, Heather Young, Atascadero Art and Wine Tour. So it's time again. The Art and Wine Tour is going to take place next Friday night, December 4th, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., throughout an entire throughout the entire city of Atascadero, with most of the businesses being located in the Historic Colony District. And tonight I have our maps and postcards, which I believe all the council members have already, but I'll have any public members that would like to take them with you. And we have on our postcards the dates for the next year through the end of 2010. And we also have those listed on our website, which you can access through the Atascadero Main Street local artist, and including one that we discovered that she painted that none of us knew until, I think a week ago. So come by the Historical Society, go down to Second Gardens, where the tree lighting ceremony is going to be taking place at 6 o'clock, and go visit a lot of our wonderful downtown businesses. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mitch Paskin. I live on San Marcos Road in Atascadero. My issue is still Oak Ridge Estates in the 3F Meadows area. I think that the safety issue still exists in our area because of Oak Ridge Estates development. I think the quality of life is still a question as the project gets bigger. And I think that the values of the houses in that area are being compromised because of the development. The first time I came into the city council and talked about cutting Escabroso Road from the development straight into 41, I was told by city staff that that would take eminent domain and too much money. I spent some time with the county and found out the easements for Escabroso Road to Highway 41 still exist. They're in place, but accepted by the county many years ago. Last week I came in and I talked about the intersection of Highway 41 and Los Altos Road. And from the way that I read the EIR and the PD-11, that intersection should have been updated for safety many years ago, and nothing's been done. In fact, I found out that the license with the county has expired. Okay. And the response from city staff last time I was here at the last city council meeting was that the project's being monitored and the safety of the citizens is not being compromised. It's something that I take issue with. I unfortunately, for at least for me, I have some other projects that are due before the end of the year, and I'm going to have to put this one on the shelf until January. But so I just wanted to come in and touch base. By the way, I would like to say that I spent around 5 days looking over records that I obtained through a request of the California Public Records Act. Everybody was very kind to me in the city.
City Core, which is great. The Fig Restaurant, which is a wonderful new foodie. And right down the street, a new grocer of organic local produce. Nature's Nursery and Harvest is moving into Palma and Traffic Way, so those are two good things for our city. I have a question. Councilman O'Malley earlier in the meeting brought up that the city did an economic study, and I'd like to know what happened to the recommendations that were made through that study, and specifically making Paloma Park a state-of-the-art baseball, softball, and or soccer field. I haven't heard anything more about that. And finally, I won't be here in December, and I'd like to recognize Mayor Bayrol. Ellen Bayrol has been a memorable mayor. She has exhibited openness, support for our city, endurance in a minority position, and she has embraced transparency in her responsibility as mayor, all the while being a parent of two and part of the state workforce. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Tom Colmar, Atascadero. Since I'll also be out of town for that December 8th meeting, at which Roberta will take over the mayor's chair, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, Ellen, for your service as mayor, for your time, your energy, your diverse views, and supportive issues over the last year that on many occasions has put you at odds with the majority of the council. We all know that it's not easy or comfortable to be in that position, and Ellen You deserve all the more respect for that. This is what democracy is all about, and it brings about the best solutions when all views are heard and all the stakeholders are involved. Again, thank you, Ellen, for your dedication to serve the city and to represent the best interests of the citizens. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Good evening, Council and city staff. I, too, just want to thank you guys. I want to thank Ellen for her leadership this last year as mayor. Did a fine job. I also want to thank the city council for the work they did. And, keeping moving things forward. Very nice job.
Just quickly state your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jim Shannon, Tascadero. Also, more importantly, I want to thank the city staff for the work they do and the people that work under them, because all the stuff that they prepare for or that make you guys look good is get going, and they're going now, and it's nice to see that. And, I was born and raised in the city. I love this city. I love what we're doing. I know that our city's took a lot of hits over the last few years, and a lot of it was self-induced by some of the citizens of this community that say they love this community. And I'm glad that we've, as a city staff and the city council, that you guys have kept your heads above that and stayed, to the grindstone, so to speak, to get things done. And you have my respect for that. And I know that a lot of times you guys are called out personally by some of these people on the radio, in the paper and all that stuff. But, thank you for doing your job and being professional about it. And like you say, the cream comes to the top, and you guys are proving what you are and what the leaders you are. And the others, well, we're seeing what they are also, not to be negative or bad about them, but they've had their chance to be positive and speak good things about this community, and they've chose not to. But anyway, thank you guys for the work you're doing and city staff and everything, and I appreciate it, and let's keep moving forward in this next year. And Ellen, again, nice job as mayor this past year. Roberta, I look forward to the work you're going to do and, hold up to the standards that she held this year, and I don't just want to thank one person that did their job this year, I want to thank all of you. So, again, thank you for the work you've done, and may all of you have a blessed Thanksgiving, you and your families, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Okay, Barbie Boots, and I'm here tonight wearing a different hat at the moment, Coats for Kids. And I would suggest that you don't leave jackets on the back of the chairs. Don't leave your coats anywhere, because I'll get them. And you'll never see them again. Coats for Kids, we're going to distribute here in Atascadero on the 17th. So we'll be setting up on the 15th, 16th at the Atascadero Armory with the Loaves and Fishes and Kiwanis with the Toys and Toys for Tots. I encourage you, because our numbers are really up. I attended a meeting in Paso Robles this morning of all of the people who are involved in anything to do with the holidays, and the numbers there were like 1,200 children. And for Coats for Kids, it's not just the children, it's the adults too. So keep that in mind as you're having your wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, how blessed we are. And how, if you're in Paso Robles, you want to drop something off up there, that's fine, because those items will go to help everybody in the North County. So are there any questions? What are you going to do when you're eating your turkey? You're going to thank Coats for Kids, right? Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak at community forum? And I already turned in my big bag of old jackets. I cleaned out my closet already, so everybody has to do the same. Okay, so we'll close community forum. And we don't have any public hearings tonight, and we move directly to management reports. The first one is the AB 811 Municipal Clean Energy Financing Pilot Program Contract Authorization for Powerhouse Services. And I believe Warren is going to, Mr. Frace will provide
yes.
this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This item before you tonight is the next step in the city moving forward with our clean energy financing program. We've briefed the council on this a couple times before. The council in May gave staff direction to issue a request for proposal to solicit applications from consultants on how best to put together a program. So we have what staff views as the best possible proposal for the city to move forward with, so we're going to present that to you tonight. We're not going to actually be approving the contract due to the amount here. The city manager does have authorization to execute this contract, but we want to brief the council on it, make sure that we understand all the council's wishes and goals on this program, and then staff will negotiate the final contract. So the consultant from Powerhouse, J.P. McNeil, is here tonight, and he'll be making a brief presentation after my presentation. So we are recommending, as I mentioned, that the city manager be given authorization to negotiate this contract with Powerhouse. In terms of the community impact, a summary of the program, what Powerhouse is proposing is a pilot program. They have a small pool of money, about $750,000, that's available to fund the bonds for this program. We believe that would fund energy improvements and possibly solar facilities on about 30 houses in town. Originally, we were thinking about a little bit bigger program, but as we get into the larger pool sizes, there's some legal issues that come into play that are fairly expensive and time-consuming to resolve. So by using this smaller pool of private funds, we can avoid set the program up. Powerhouse will do the majority of the work. This will be an assessment district, so there will be long-term administration required, especially in the finance department. We're estimating that'll be about 50 hours annually in terms of long-term administration over the life of the bonds. Also, just an update, this is a little bit separate, but the County of San Luis Obispo is also working on an AB 811 type program. They're working with the state of California on a larger program that may include a number of cities and counties across the state. We have submitted a letter of interest. We think their program has a lot of merit. We also think it's going to take a little bit longer to get off the ground, so that may make sense as a possible phase two. So really what staff's thinking is ideally is we can do this initial program with Powerhouse, and then as the county program comes together, if it actually does, then that could possibly be a second phase. So we've submitted a letter of interest basically to have a placeholder in their program as it moves forward. We'll be coming back to the council probably in January with some more information on what's going on with the county program if that continues to move forward. So with that, I'd like to introduce the consultant. The consultant's John Paul, or J.P. McNeil. He's from Powerhouse Services. He's got a little presentation, and I know there's some specific questions the council has, and he's prepared to answer those. So with that, I'll introduce J.P.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council, City staff, and members of the community. On behalf of Powerhouse and our partners, I want to thank all of you for your leadership in supporting an energy efficiency program within the community. As Mr. Frace had indicated, he'd asked me to provide you with an overview of the proposed program to City Council, to the Mayor, and to the community at large. In essence, the program's goal is to save property owners money to meet some mandates that the state of California has imposed in terms of reducing greenhouse gases. We're going to help the local economy with jobs. We're going to promote conservation, and there's going to be no cost to the city of Atascadero. Many of you probably know the miles per gallon that your car gets, but most of us don't know the miles per gallon that our home gets or that our property or our buildings get. Most, if you look at the U.S. Department of Energy data, what this program entails is it allows the property owner to borrow money through a bond issuance from the city and not from a bank. And in doing so, it allows them to repay the loan over a 15-year period. If the property owner moves, they are not required to pay off the balance. The balance stays with the property, which is where the improvement is located. Powerhouse, what we do is we manage the turnkey solution for cities and counties. We, in essence, manage the financing aspect of the program, and we also administer the program. What administering the program entails is we create the program with the city, we market that program within the community, we provide customer service, We manage all loan originations from the community, and we do special assessment administration. Now, Powerhouse doesn't do all of these services. It partners with other organizations to provide some of these services. As Warren indicated, the city pays no costs to the program. It's 100% voluntary for property owners who want to participate. The total program costs are broken down into three components. There's $33,000 for program administration fees, $22,500 for program finance fees, and $5,000 for an annual assessment administration fees. All those fees are paid for by those property owners that are participating in the program, not by the city. The eligibility requirements are fairly straightforward. If you have a property within the city of Atascadero, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial, you're eligible. In phase one of the program, we're recommending that only residential properties participate so that not a lot of money goes towards a commercial property. All property owners must meet certain eligibility requirements. These eligibility requirements will be defined within the program. They'll be similar to state policy that has been set established, as well as policy that the White House has recently articulated. The loans finance 100% of the total cost of the improvement, and in essence it includes the labor, the product cost, the permitting, everything that's required. In terms of what's financeable, really anything that's permanently attached to the property is financeable. Again, most of these products are energy efficiency measures, air conditioning systems, furnaces, lighting management, water heaters, and then obviously you've got newer products to finance the loans. The term of the loan is 15 years. We want to make sure that the term of the loan does not exceed the life expectancy of the improvements. So you'll see certain programs that have launched their programs, and they have put a 20-year term limit. That's not something that we recommend. That's not good policy, particularly if the product life expectancy is less than 20 years. The interest rate is set at 10-year Treasury plus 3.25, which recently the 10-year Treasury was 3.36, so that the interest rate that the property owner would pay to borrow this money for these improvements would be about 6.61%. How property owners repay the loan, in essence, when you borrow the money to make the improvements to the property, on your property tax bill every year, there'll be a separate line item that will indicate the principal and interest that's due to repay the loan. You'll repay that twice a year, and the property owner can choose to repay the assessment in full prior to the end of the term. As Warren indicated, there's a pilot phase that we're proposing for $750,000. Loan applications are processed on a first-come, first-served basis. There are other avenues that the county's pursuing, as well as what Powerhouse is pursuing in terms to provide access to unlimited funds for future phases. There hasn't been a public bond issuance in the state of California yet under this program, and the proposed solution that we're providing is through a private placement of a generous group that wants to see the city of Atascadero launch this program. In terms of the timeline, the City Council obviously would authorize the staff to proceed. We would finalize an agreement with city staff in December. There's a four-month period that we would form the district that does require a variety of different hearings. We would launch the program in May of 2010 and then begin accepting applications and sign loan agreement in the summer of 2010. And then obviously, phase two would be later to the extent that the city wishes to expand the program. Short and sweet. I'll open it up to questions because you probably have some.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. You know, when we talked about this originally, like the figure 32,000.
So if you're looking at an average solar PV system of 32,000, in essence, the rebate program would be 6,000. And then the federal government provides the property owner with a 30% federal tax credit. So collectively between the state rebate program, which in your example would be about $6,000 and a $9,000 federal tax credit, you get to $16,000 for the buy down. Now, under this program, property owners would borrow money that would equal the gross amount less the rebate that the state provides. Mm-hmm. And then the property owners, the year that the system would be installed, would actually get the $9,000 federal tax credit. So the program, in essence, is similar to the Cash for Clunkers program in that the property owners actually get paid to put these efficiency measures on their property. So it's been very well received by other communities that have launched these programs.
So I guess my question is, if your taxes are only $4,000, how do you get the $9,000?
Yeah, if your taxes are only $4,000, then you would pay no taxes, and then the remaining balance would carry over to the subsequent year.
Next year. Okay, and then my other question is, I'm looking at the $750,000, and Warren said 30 homes. To me, it would be more like 50 homes. How many dollars do you figure per home?
You know, it depends upon the mix. You know, it's a first come first serve basis. The eligible equipment includes energy efficiency measures and renewable energy measures. And if you look at other programs throughout the country, for example, the county of Boulder, their average cost was, I think, about $20,000 per property. The city of Palm Desert and the county of Sonoma, their average cost has been between $32,000 to $38,000. So it really depends upon the mix.
I see. Was most of that solar panels, or was it a combination? Or?
In terms of units, more properties move forward with energy efficiency measures. But in terms of dollars, solar tends to be the largest percentage of each of those programs. But most, so it's on the units, it's more energy efficiency, and total dollars, it's solar.
Right. The other thing is with Prop 13 and some of your older homes that have been owned for a long time, and you indicated at 10%, it would
underwritten through a public bond issuance.
Okay, I guess my point is that the important thing is some of the older homes, and some of the older homes may have a very low assessed valuation based on the on their Prop 13 value.
Yeah, I think this is something that we can discuss with city staff. But from a policy standpoint, okay, what the, you know, one of the goals is to create a program that can be all-encompassing. The challenge is that if you want to offer it to the community at large and have it be purchased through a public bond issuance, there are certain standards that the investment community looks to ensure that they're satisfied with the asset to loan ratio.
I see. Okay, and the other thing is PG&E was involved the last time you guys were here a few months back, and they talked about some rebates too. Are they still in the ballgame?
Yeah, absolutely. So there, in terms of rebates, Pacific Gas and Electric has rebates for energy efficiency products, and through the CSI initiative for solar, and then you have federal tax credits on top of the
so is that the $6,000, the PG&E, or is that something else?
For solar, that's the $6,000, and then for windows and insulation and heating and air conditioning and other products, they have rebates as well.
Right. Okay, that's all for now. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi?
I too share some of your concerns, Councilmember Clay, about the assessed value versus appraised value. That some of the homes that need the improvements the most are the older homes that may need windows or heating and ventilation systems that are very old and owned by older people that may have owned them for many years, and under Prop 13 their basis is very low. So I'm wondering if we can approach this and have this based on some other measure rather than the assessed valuation.
We can look at other measures, and so what we're, again, the goal is to try to stay within some standards that other larger bodies are looking towards, to try to make sure that we fit within that. To the extent that we want to do it slightly differently, we can do that. Through the pilot program, we can gather data so we can actually see for each property what the actual loan amount is versus the assessed value and provide a report back to the council as well as to the staff to say, of the 50 applications that we got, here were the challenges.
Is that correct?
That is correct. The district would encompass the entire geographical boundary of the city of Atascadero, and then the parcels would opt in to participate into the district. So there's a mechanism that allows for properties that are not contiguous to another but fall within, in essence, the financing district, which is the entire geographical boundary of the city of Atascadero.
Very good. And one last question. Does this apply only to existing homes, or let's say someone came in and wanted to build a home and incorporate this into their newly built home, could they use this as well?
Yeah. Unfortunately, under the current legislation, AB 811 only allows for this financing to occur on developed property. There have been an interest to amend the legislation to include undeveloped property. So as these changes occur to the statutes, then we would make modifications to the program to incorporate them.
Thank you.
Councilman O'Malley.
Thank you. I would briefly echo Councilmember Fonzie and Councilmember Clay's concern about folks that might be seniors or have older homes, and that would be an important need to explore. I'm a little concerned about the financing, and I know I brought this question up before. I think Councilmember Fonzie had some research on it and might have some ideas, but the idea that this loan, in addition to whatever existing loans may be, would it be subordinate to the current loans, and would it be any, what are the problems folks have faced in other areas with loan to value issues and refinancing, or is there any way that let's say that you've got a piece of property that's basically upside down, and yet this would be cost effective for an owner to be able to lower their energy costs, is it still any minimum loan to value requirements with this, and also just how banks look at adding on another loan on to, if they get in a foreclosure situation and here's another lien on the property, what precedent order does that have, and how has that been worked out in other areas?
Very good questions, yes. So from a statutory standpoint, the assessment is senior, or it's equal to an ad valorem tax. So it is senior to the mortgage. But again, from a statutory standpoint, there is precedence to the mortgage in that example. In terms of the other questions that you've identified, there are other criteria from an eligibility standpoint that we will discuss with staff that outline some of the possibilities that could be included in the program. And again, what we're trying to do is balance the benefits that you gain from providing these energy efficiency measures with the existing credit that exists, you know, with each property. And again, there's no right answer. It's really a balance of how do we get as many property owners to participate in the program while creating an avenue for investors to come in to buy the bonds. And so it's you know, certainly you know, a balancing act, if you will. But there's flexibility to do that. It's your program, so we can manage some of those policy issues. But again, that's one of the benefits of going through a pilot phase and gathering information and then reporting back and saying, here's what we found.
Well, our city was one of the first to look into this. I think it was unanimous interest on our part, and I assume it still holds true that the more programs available to our community, the better. I know folks were concerned about, well, the county is going to do a program, and should we be doing one too? And it seems like this is an opportunity for more applicants to be successful, and that hopefully we can tailor this to not only be available before the county program, but maybe hit some unique needs in our community, especially with some of the older homes and help out there. So it's possible for us to customize that and meet some of those unmet needs in our program?
Yes. So you can set up you know, you can we can out, set aside and allocate funds specific to certain criteria. Again, the goal would be to balance that with established guidelines right. and policy that is you know permeating from large organizations that again are influencing the investment community and how they're viewing these investments.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Clay, another question?
Yes. Has there ever been a problem with the first come, first serve in any areas that you've?
In terms of problem, can you
elaborate? Well, I mean, where you got a whole group of people, you understand where I'm coming from, 10 people that he's representing, or do individuals have to come up themselves?
Individuals have to apply for the program. So it's, yeah, it's.
But it hasn't been a big problem where.
The problem has been that five cities in the country have launched this program, and there are many other cities that are very eager to launch it as well. And obviously, you guys have great leadership in this area. What we need to do is to continue to move forward and move the ball, and have more people participate, more people become aware of this great financing vehicle to make. Energy efficiency and renewable energy, adopted by the masses. And by doing that, the demand that we're going to create is going to be, in essence, recognized by the financial community, and they're going to come forward with more funds. But again, it's kind of a chicken and an egg. You've got to take the first step.
Okay. In regards to the funds, you said it wasn't the state wasn't bonding this. It was an individual or a company. And why are they getting involved?
They're getting involved, two reasons.
For the money? For the interest? Or?
Well, they are getting involved. They view this as a very safe investment, and they view this as it's more than just buying a bond mm-hmm. or making an investment. You're actually creating change within a community. Mm-hmm. So they see this as both a good investment and, a social investment.
I see. And the fact that you said it's a senior, it goes on the property tax, the risk is slim to none, right?
Yeah, the risk is that a mortgage company steps in and tries to fight a collection process through a delinquency measure. But again, I think that with all the policy that is going on within the state and within the federal government, there's a big push within Washington to get Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to recognize this as a senior instrument. But again, it just requires a little bit more movement.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
If the council approves this, how will we get the word out? Will this be your job to advertise this to the local residents? Will it be the city's responsibility, or how will this be made known to the public so they will know to?
Sorts of direct response, but word of mouth is once you get the ball rolling, word of mouth kind of takes over, and it becomes a proposition that's very enticing to property owners and contractors.
So if this is approved and you've gotten the word out, you will be here on a certain day and members will come in and sign up with you?
So part of the service that we offer is a storefront where we will have a physical presence here, and somebody, a contractor or a property owner, can come in and ask a question. We also have a call center that people will be directed to, and we'll also have a website that will have all the documentation and program guidelines for people to review.
Very good. Thank you.
Wade, I have a question for Wade. Did we pay our gas bill? Because everybody's pretty cold in here right now. If you look out, everybody's got their hands folded and they're chilly.
Okay. We're working at cutting costs.
Did you have a question, Mr. Councilmember Clay? Okay. I do have a couple questions, and first off, I want to commend you for your request for a proposal. It was very thorough, very extensive, and if people want to learn more about this organization, they do have a great website, and What I find very exciting is that you do pair up with other experts in this field, and so I personally feel very confident that you guys are going to do a great job. And
Thank you.
After reading this, I felt very reassured. I was like, wow, they're ready to go with the money. I mean, we couldn't have this handed to us on a silver platter any more than you're already doing. So I want to appreciate and let you know I appreciate that. A couple questions I have is on some of the other programs I've read about, that homeowners, the part of the approval process is that they have to have a home energy audit. Is that part of this program, and what does that entail?
You know, again, this is one of those things we can go either way. We can have policy that requires an energy audit to be performed, or we can let the property owner choose whether to have an energy audit performed. What we're doing with the City of Yucaipa is to offer a free energy audit service. We don't do the work. We subcontract that out to local energy auditors. And through a program, it gets, in essence, funded, so they get paid. The property owner doesn't have this barrier to entry in terms of $600 to $800 to pay for the program, and the energy audit can be included in the loan because it will yield the best measures for that property.
Because it does seem important, but you don't want it to be a barrier, so I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
In your experience, once a homeowner has an energy audit, do they sometimes change their mind? Because maybe they go in thinking, I want solar panels, and they end up getting a new heating and air conditioning system. Does that ever happen, that people start changing their mind on what they need?
Yeah. If you look at all the products that are available to be financed and you compare them, you know, solar tends to be viewed as sexy, and you know, changing your air conditioner furnace is not as all that exciting as putting a solar PV system on your roof. So solar is kind of, you know, the entry vehicle for certain people, but then once they see that the impact for other improvements provide a greater value and they don't have to take such a big loan to put the solar VP system on the property, then it ultimately delivers a more comprehensive and more cost-effective solution for that particular property. So it's energy efficiency. It's a lot easier to save a dollar than it is to create a kilowatt. So it's good policy to recommend energy audits and to come up with a program that in essence removes the cost so that property owners can see what the best improvements are to their property. And I think the contractor community, those that recognize this, I think that they will provide this service at some point in time as part of their overall solution to the property owner, but I think that'll take a little bit of time to occur because, you know, more services is a better solution for the property owner.
Because as I was reading your report, it did occur to me that, you know, when everyone says AB 811, they think solar panels. And in reality, it's an energy efficiency program where, and when you look at our city, most of our homes have been built earlier on, you know, pre-cityhood, and they might benefit more from switching out their windows than trying to find a sunny spot on their roof. So it'll be really, you know, individualized is kind of how I saw it happening.
Yeah, each property has its own unique characteristics. And, again, energy efficiency applies pretty much to all properties, whereas solar might apply to 5 to 10% of the properties due to shading, directional view of roof and where the sun is. So yes, that's absolutely correct.
And so if anyone has any other concerns about the program, they do an excellent job. I mean, I think there's like 5 or 6 concerns that have come up in other cities, and you guys did a great job addressing that. So
thank you very much.
Okay, so I don't believe we have any more questions. I don't see any more lights. So we'll go ahead and open it up to the public and take their comments.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Ray Wyman, and I'm an Atascadero resident. And I, too, want to congratulate, first of all, the staff for selecting Powerhouse and for, I think, a really excellent presentation. I read your full proposal. I think you've done a great job, and I agree with the mayor that you did a really good job of objectively assessing the risks and effective ways of dealing with them. I want to stress one point that hasn't come up very much, and that's the notion of the green jobs. The ADE report, as you recall, stressed the opportunity for green jobs in Atascadero. And now this gives us an opportunity to really do something about it. Let's have Atascadero be a leader in this and not just a follower in this area. These will be local jobs, especially for these energy efficiency improvements. It's absolutely true that the biggest bang for the buck comes from energy efficiency. And let me point out this concern about the 10%. It's not all or nothing. You saw a whole list of energy efficiency improvement that can be made. We put in double pane windows, for example. That's not going to exceed 10% of almost anybody's home, but it saves you a lot of money. Some have questioned the financial incentive for homeowners to get involved in this. It's crucial to realize that the enormous rate of inflation that's taking place in the electricity rates. Our bill, we overlapped into tier threes and four. There are five tiers that PG&E causes the residential users. Over the four-year period, tier three has increased by 46%, tier four by 73%, and tier five by 101%. So if you're a moderate to heavy user, you will save an enormous amount just from beating inflation. One technical note, there was some concern expressed about the lifetime of the solar panels. I just attended a workshop at REC, one of the major solar energy firms in the entire United States based in San Luis Obispo. They will give a 25-year warranty and guarantee that the efficiency can to anybody who's interested, city council, planning commission, whatever. But it is an individual decision to make, and I think that's really important. So I urge you to adopt the staff recommendation, and again, I congratulate you on a really excellent proposal. Thank you.
Lee Perkins, Atascadero, and I too want to compliment Powerhouse on a really great presentation. The staff report recommends the city authorize the city manager to enter into a contract with Powerhouse Services, Inc. to administer the AB 811 program. This is a long-awaited program to enable citizens to voluntarily finance energy efficiency improvements and or solar energy installments to be paid for over many years through their property taxes, thus avoiding the upfront costs. When I first came out to California over 30 years ago, I thought every house would have a solar panel, and it was a rude awakening. So I'm really glad to see that this is the beginning of that possibility. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Ken Smokoska. I represent the Labor Management Cooperation Committee for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and the National Electrical Contractors Association. It's over 200 electricians here in San Luis Obispo County and over 20 companies on the Central Coast. We strongly support the city moving forward also. I would like to say that we also recommend that you move forward in expanding it. You know, having 30 to 40 homes initially here, I think that's going to sell out in the first 10, 15 minutes, just like the other cities, and to move forward to figure out how to incorporate that in an expansion. Also wanted to let you know that we're part of a group with Cuesta College, the Workforce Investment Board, and the California Conservation Corps. We received a grant from the California Energy Commission to do a clean energy workforce training program. That's going to start on January 17th. Both projects, Introduction to Green Building, Energy and Water Conservation, will be incorporated into that. So you're going to have 25 young members out looking for projects, too, that could be incorporated into this. So thank you again for your support.
Seeing no one else approach the podium, I'll bring it back to the council for discussion. Councilmember Kelly.
Yes, I know a few months ago when this was first presented to us, I walked away saying, this is too good to be true, kind of educating some of us and maybe taking us over the hump on some of these things. So thank you.
Councilman O'Malley.
Thank you. I think there are a number of energy audit organizations available at no cost or low cost, but it might be good to make sure we identify those because that is a good foundation for everyone and would have some benefit whatever else they do. And I agree with Councilmember Kelly, and I'm sure we all have the thought that we need to be planning for expansion and keep an eye as we collaborate with the county. But I think this is something that's very cost effective for our community, and I don't see a lot of discussion left here. And I think even though I'm sure it's unanimous in support of this idea, I think it would be most appropriate to allow our mayor to make the motion on this item as one of her mayoral functions for her last meeting, and I would suggest you do so.
Does anyone want to speak before this? Go ahead, Councilmember.
In regards to the energy audit or the assessment on each house, I personally think that should be voluntary. I mean, I don't think we should force that on people to have to do that. And I think most of them, may do it, they may not. But if we have it not voluntary, it may, make some people to shy away. So anyway, I support it 100%. Anything that makes economic sense is fine with me, and even though global warming is a hoax.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Well, we don't want to argue that point at this point in time, I don't think. But I think this will promote energy efficiency, and it'll be a great deal of help to saving homeowners' expenses for their energy costs. And I can see a lot of benefits to this, and it allows you to amortize the installation on your solar or other investments for energy efficiency. So I can see only an upside to this, and the fact that it's 100% voluntary is just the icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned. So I'm looking forward to your motion.
I just want to summarize a couple of thoughts I had about us starting on this program. One is that we're going to attract green jobs to our city, and I'm hoping we can attract some new businesses to come and install themselves in our city. It's going to increase awareness of energy efficiency and solar projects that are programs that are available and grants that are available as part of the staff report it brought up, and also including commercial properties. It's kind of a shame that we can't do commercial at this time, but when you think about it, most of our commercial properties are where the sun shines most. There aren't a whole lot of trees there, and it's going to be, I think we'll have a lot of interest in having commercial property owners being interested in this kind of program. And the last thing is that this aligns with our commitment to our 5-year economic development strategy that we have adopted by ADE. And that is, we're always going in the right direction with that. So I think that's exciting. So I'd like to make the motion that we accept staff's recommendation to enter into a contract with Powerhouse Services, Inc. to administer the AB 811 pilot program within the city of Atascadero.
Second.
So motion by myself and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Yeah, I just have one question.
Sure.
Why are we stuck at $750,000? I mean, how did that figure come up, and why can't we increase it?
My understanding is that's the amount of money that's available.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And I think we're going to become, once we gauge how much interest there is, we can come back and do future phases.
It has nothing to do with global warming either.
Roll call, please.
And for those only listening, they nodded their heads yes. Okay. Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor Bayrou.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Excellent. Our next item is an update on the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board's required stormwater management plan. Who's the lucky one? Mr.
That would be me.
Okay.
Give me a second to get set up here. Well, it's back. The stormwater management plan is back tonight. I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on just, I think, some of the issues that Wade touched on earlier, and then talk a little more at length about the joint hydromodification effort that we are being asked to participate in. As you might remember, we submitted our stormwater management plan in 2008, and we did actually receive approval last week of the stormwater management plan. And one of the key steps of that storm, we're going to give you an update, like I said, on the issues facing the stormwater issues facing the city, and then talk about this hydro modification joint effort participation. Our stormwater plan, as I said, was submitted in January of 2008. Was recently approved, and the Water Board, as again, as City Manager touched on earlier, is requiring six changes, six modifications to our stormwater management plan, and we'll talk a little bit more about those in a second. And there is an amended stormwater management plan is due on December 23rd that incorporates those six changes. The six changes, five of them have fairly small impacts. They're not showstoppers by any means. The first one is that we incorporate community-based social marketing, which is a certain technique for helping you do your public outreach and education. It's this required change will be, we can't just have a meeting and say, well, nobody showed up, we're done. It just means that you actually engage the public through that education process, and you modify it as you need to make sure that you're getting the people involved that need to be involved. We have to modify one of the tables in our swamp, and this has very little effect, just kind of a bookkeeping issue. Additional choices for the interim hydro modification control plan. There's a couple measures that we have to add. Again, these are ideas and concepts that we'll go over more on December 8th meeting in more detail. The fourth one is to add some hydro modification submittal dates. Instead of just saying we'll complete it in 2 years, there will be specific dates that are included in the swamp. The big one, as Wade mentioned, was this riparian buffer zones will have to be addressed. This will be an item that will come back with more detail at your next meeting. And then the last one is to revise the plans, some of the text in the plan to match some previous letters that the Water Quality Control Board wrote. So again, five out of the six are have very low impact. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the hydro modification and what this joint effort is. The hydro modification is a process where stream channels are eroded, banks are destabilized due to increased water from impervious surfaces through development. Hydro modification is and this process that we want to participate in is that these standards, and I'm trying to explain it in a certain way, that this joint effort for hydro modification standards is going to develop a toolkit, if you will, of management practices and implementation techniques that will be developed, and then we will have an opportunity in the second phase of this to tailor those, pick and choose which ones this first phase comes up. The joint hydro modification will come up with a series of tools, in effect, and we'll get to pick and choose which ones that we apply to our community. Because this hydro modification effort is going out throughout the Central Coast region. There's, I think, over 115 agencies that have been participating in this effort that may be affected. And they all have the same budget constraints that we have. So the Water Quality Control Board has been good enough to try to pull together a joint effort so that there's an economy of scale, that we can go through this first phase in one effort, develop those tools, and then in the second phase, each individual community will be able to take those and develop and craft their plan in the second year of this process. They will hire the low-impact, or have hired the low-impact development center to lead this effort to develop these hydro modification criterias. They will retain experts and engineers and scientists to help them develop these hydromodification techniques and tools. The terms of our participation is that, and by signing this agreement, what at the end of tonight's meeting, I'm hoping to get direction that we should sign this agreement, and it's simply a letter that states that we will participate in this joint effort, and there are terms associated with saying yes, that we will participate. The first one is just simply that we will work with the Low Impact Development Center to provide them data specifically about our community that we have that they'll incorporate into their studies. And we will work with that team, so there will be some staff time certainly devoted to this effort that we anticipated. And in the second term is that we will agree to develop the final hydromodification for our community based on what they develop in this first item or this first phase. The third one is we will implement hydromodification controls and low-impact development in the city. Again, it's just a commitment that we will follow through with the hydromodification techniques that we put into our stormwater management plan, and we will implement those on development and redevelopment projects. And then the fourth one is we will have to change our stormwater plan as this hydromodification effort is going to take about 12 months to complete. Once it's complete, we will modify our stormwater management plan as these the rules change and come into focus. The cost, one of the advantages of participating in this joint effort is that, and this graphic's wrong, that's $600,000, is that the Water Quality Control Board was able to acquire a $600,000 grant to fund this joint hydromodification study effort, this first phase. As I said, there's over 115 agencies that attended the stakeholders meetings as this effort has been brought forward. So you can see the economy of scale. If we went out and tried to do it on our own, if that would be even possible, we would have to retain consultants to help us get through that process. We may spend, you know, $40,000 or more trying to get through that effort, and multiply that out by 115 agencies. I mean, you're talking about if everybody was going to try to go alone, it would take, you know, millions of dollars to complete this process. So by obtaining this grant, doing a single effort will help come up with kind of a every agency is going to have similar standards, similar techniques, similar best management practices, so that for the development community, I think it would be a positive thing as standards would be very similar throughout the different counties that are involved. So the deadline to return this letter and say that yes, we are going to participate in this joint effort is November 30th, up in a few days. City staff will be involved throughout this process, kind of looking at what things they're coming up with, kind of protecting our interests, sharing our concerns with how those might apply to the city of Atascadero, as will all the other agencies. And everybody is affected by this. It's not no one agency is being singled out. We're all in the same boat. And so everybody has the same concerns that we do, that we want to make sure that we end up with a workable plan, that one we can afford to implement, I think is a huge one, and that it's effective in our community. The process, the joint hydromodification process, is supposed to start very soon, once they get everybody signed on, and will be completed in December of 2010 is where it's scheduled. So Let's see. Other than that, the staff recommendation, I think we see this participating in this joint hydromodification effort is a good thing. We would recommend your support. And again, we're here, and David Ennis from the Water Quality Control Board is here to answer any questions.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. Is there any cities that are absent that are from this, the 115? Are they all cities? You said agencies. Are they?
No, there's six counties. Yeah, David, if you want to, there's a number of cities. All cities are have to comply with these same rules, but it's cities, counties, special districts.
Hi, my name is David Ennis. I'm an environmental scientist with the Water Board, and I'm also a 22-year resident of Atascadero. Within our region, which stretches from Carpinteria to Santa Cruz and over to Morgan Hill, there are at least 38 cities and counties that are participating, and then the rest of the what we call are like school districts and Vandenberg Air Force Base and some of the universities. And so what Mr. Thompson is talking about is that we had 115 participants in three meetings. And like at Tascadero, they sent a couple people in different cities. So it isn't 115 agencies, but it's quite an extensive group of different municipalities.
Right. And counties, you say?
Counties, yeah. Counties. Yeah. We use different terms, but yeah, the counties, San Luis Obispo County is attended. And so what we've done is gone out and sought these funds so that the different municipalities would have a joint way of having these team of experts mm-hmm. develop the criteria that the cities can use to implement this for their own watershed and water bodies here. So.
David, why is it that every time something comes forward, it's always like we got to make a decision in 5 days or 2 days or something like that? It seems like we never...
I'm not sure exactly. We have been working with staff for over 2 years, and this part we've actually started with them in February 15th, 2008. Things progress, you know, when the team is being built and things like that. And and so I think what staff does is make sure we have all the eggs in one basket so that you're not presented something that's going to change in a week or so.
Okay. Thank you.
And so basically what we're asking is that they sign a declaration, and the declaration will give the team an idea who's going to be involved and how they're going to use that money and, you know, how many different agencies or municipalities. And then that isn't you're not really locked in then. It's in February when I come back and work with staff that we will be actually helping them to change their stormwater management plan. Right. And that's when you really... the real lock actually starts. So right now it's just an intent.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Councilmember Kelly?
Excuse me. Referring to the item number 5 on the letter that we received, can anybody tell me what the standards are for the water quality board that we are supposed to meet on the buffer width? Is there a numerical value associated with that?
We really haven't studied it in detail yet, but they have talked about buffer setbacks as much as 35 feet from ordinary high water mark, which, you know, our current standards are 20 feet, I believe, from like creek reservations, but the ordinary high water mark might be within the creek reservation, so a 35-foot setback from that may be less in some cases than 20 feet from the creek reservation. So,
Mr. Ennis, can you comment on that?
What my management wants the city to evaluate is their reservation parcels and other areas along creeks that don't have reservation parcels. We have a basin plan that talks about water quality for the region, and that basin plan talks about a 30-foot setback from the area of highest anticipated water level. Today we discussed that with my manager, and that means the top of the bank is a standard thing. So on Atascadero Creek for, and probably Gray's Creek and Boulder Creek, you've already incorporated all that area already, that 30-foot of it's riparian vegetation and buffer. It's not a separate riparian zone and then a buffer. It's the whole thing. And basically what the goal there is to protect the water quality that you have already. This is a very unique area that has these buffers, these zones that E.G. Lewis set up when the city was laid out. And so there's a few other creeks in town, like Paloma Creek and some of the other ones, that don't have those buffers as distinct property lines that can't be built into. So what we'd like to do is make sure that the city council's or the city's plans are sort of uniform throughout the city, and so that you are protecting all the waters flowing through the city.
Would that include the creeks that go through our downtown? Because like in San Luis Obispo, they have development right along the creek there, which is actually pretty nice. Would that restrict us from doing similar improvements in our downtown along the creek?
You mean like redevelopment? Improve? I mean, you're pretty well built out. I'm not saying thinking you're going to be building anything new right up against a creek, but just like this building here was built fairly close to a creek, and then this, well, we talked about this hydro modification, you know, think of all of El Camino Real's water coming down here into a couple storm drains, and then that, you know, that amount of flow has essentially over time has eroded the banks. Mr. Clay has told us about that in the past when he was a kid, that the, you know, the level in the creeks has changed quite a bit. And so what we want to do in the long term is try to at least hold that line right now as not causing any more damage. And so some of these practices that we're talking about, this low impact development, is to try to reduce the volume and the rate of runoff in when we do work on new redevelopment or in new projects. So it's not to say that it would affect it. I mean, it would, people would have to consider. And part of our process here is to look at the applicability area, the criteria where it's applicable. And, you know, you'd have to vet that out, you know, with the engineering standards and things like that. So I can't give you a direct answer, yes or no, but, you know, it's possible.
In the past, this has been kind of a hot item in our town.
Definitely.
And we only have 4 weeks to come to this agreement with you?
No, we're...
I think it says you want a letter that we accept this by the 23rd of December.
What you have already in your plan is you've already agreed to do this. That's what we approved. It's just that we're giving it to you in a more palatable way that it's going to you're not going to be going on it alone. That you will have this communal effort with this joint, all the different municipalities to participate in our region.
Can we do it alone?
You can try.
Thank you.
We're talking about two things. Or?
Are you done? Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
I think we're talking about two things, and maybe that's something we need to get clear, that one is participating in the joint hydro modification effort, mm-hmm. which I think that we probably can all agree that this is a good way to collaborate with other municipalities regarding regional water quality control boards regulations. The second is the things that are coming through on our stormwater management plan, which I'm not sure that you can speak to, although perhaps you can. But what has been given to us seems to be rather inflexible, that it seems to be we have approved your stormwater management plan, but it is contingent upon acceptance of our conditions. And if we choose not to accept those conditions, where does that leave us?
You have the opportunity to petition it through the state board, and the state board would determine if the petition, you know, if it's valid or not. You also have the opportunity to come and meet with our board and have a hearing. And those are two major ways of doing it. So,
because I find some of the language in this very disturbing personally. Mm-hmm. And perhaps this isn't meant to be, but it has things that say, for instance, the city must use CSBM tools to uncover the barriers that inhibit individuals from engaging in sustainable behaviors that the city wishes to promote. that implies to me a form of brainwashing, and perhaps that's not the intent, but it's the way that it's coming through. And I don't want the city to be used in that vehicle to promote something that we may not believe in or agree on. I want the public to have access and the ability to state that they do or they don't agree on it. We don't want to somehow make them agree.
I understand your point. Statewide and nationwide, this community-based social marketing is an environmental sociology tool that allows us and allows the municipalities and the staff to actually directly work with the stakeholders. In the past, the typical educational process would be to hand out brochures or something like that, have radio ads, television, internet, bus ads, things like that. And we find that people's behavior does not change even though you've told them all this stuff over years. You know, if you have Waterfest here, you know, you hand out things, everybody comes, but people are not actually changing their behavior to promote, you know, like, let's say, pet waste is a big issue. And, you know, in your city, you've gone to the lengths of putting up the mutt mitt stations around the lake and things like that. In other areas, those have not been done yet. And so that tool to identify what the barriers are to overcome some of these behavioral reluctancies, you know, and so that's what the community-based social marketing tool is. It's whether or not you believe in it, I don't know, but it's another way of actually, you know, just like I'm here tonight working with you guys to help you better understand this, it's another way to have more, you know, sort of face-to-face.
I understand time. Where you're coming from. I just think it's very important that it be socially acceptable for people to state their opinions, and they don't have to agree. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to force them in any way to agree. We right. want that to be an American ideal of free speech, and I see this as circumventing that. In the language, this disturbs me a great deal. Mm-hmm. The second is Atascadero has fought this battle of the creek setback, as you have alluded to, and some of the issues are so particular to Atascadero that we have creeks that have a high bank that may be a cliff up here, and then mm-hmm. to put the creek setback 35 feet on the top of a cliff when down here 35 feet below is the floodplain doesn't make sense to many of the residents. And we've had some of that feedback, and we'd like to have it applied individually to our city so that we could look at individual parcels and areas and take into account the creek reservations, which I am very happy to see that the Regional Water Quality Control Board has recognized. But I don't think it's a cookie cutter one size fits all for every city, mm-hmm. and I want to be sure that we have an understanding with regional water quality and others that we can put together a plan that works individually for our city. Is there some way to do that?
I think definitely that as part of your applicability criteria that you could actually, you know, use that as a process. The high cliff land is probably not in the anticipated high water area that, you know, we're talking about here, so that wouldn't be the mark that you start from. But
it would be a creek bank, correct?
No, I think it's where the water is actually flowing and not where it had flowed, you know, 1,000 years ago or something like that. So it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. I think through your planning commission that you'll have the opportunity for, you know, looking for waivers or variances. And the other thing I think the city will have to do is over the next year or two is to actually come up with, you know, where you want to apply this and where, you know, what makes sense. You know, they did propose something originally, and we just couldn't buy into it right off the bat. They talked about excluding everything within a half-mile radius of a bus stop. Well, that takes you right into the creeks, and so we couldn't really buy into that. And or they wanted to just circle off the whole downtown area as excluded from all this. And so what we need to do is have more thought in this and more sort of, you know, a discussion so that we're not just, you know, some areas will work and some areas won't. And so it takes a lot of, you know, sort of forethought and research.
Right. I appreciate that. And so if Atascadero sends in their letter in approximately 1 month, what are we actually agreeing to?
The declaration is the saying that you're going to join this joint effort. And there's some commitments of staff time to work with the expert team to understand the local hydrology, and so that they can, you know, apply that their knowledge here, you know, rather than just taking it all over the whole region. You know, it's a lot different in Santa Barbara than it is in Santa Cruz, so we have to look at it in throughout the whole area. And so they will be going through the whole area and, you know, looking, but once you're in it, they'll spend more time here as well. So that's
okay. So if I'm following you right, we're agreeing to participate in the joint hydro modification effort only.
Yeah, that's just one little phase of this whole stormwater management plan.
And the stormwater management plan does not have that guideline and time frame. We have some time to kick that around and come to a conclusion.
No, right now, what we're asking in the letter that we sent last Thursday was three other options of interim hydro modification control criteria that would be due in 1 year from essentially November 6th. 19th. So this is spreading it out over more of like a two-year plan.
Thank you.
Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, I think we're getting confused here. We're talking about two different things. This hydro modification, which I think most of agree on, and then there's the letter that has the six proposals that basically states that we have to accept these or we get fined, and it has to be done within, you know, a month or something like that. So,
definitely.
Do you understand the two?
Yeah. What I think Mr. Thompson really wanted to discuss now is this joint effort tonight, and the timing of the approval of this stormwater management plan is just coming on top of that right now. And so
disregard that for right now. Let's
there's two items on there that actually deal with hydro modification, I think it's items 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And so what I tried to get my management to do was like, well, let's add this as a fourth item, but they weren't willing to do that. So so the joint effort is standing alone right now.
Okay, but my point is, do we have some time on these six proposals?
Yeah, that's what we asked for, to reply by December 23rd.
But jeepers creepers, you know, we're only going to have one more meeting and we're into Christmas, and mm-hmm. I mean that... We need more time. Is that a possibility?
They can send a letter and ask.
Are we going to get any response?
Well, I think, Jerry, what the issue is if we have some concerns, we can send a letter of appeal and we have some time to discuss it. If we just accept it, that's fine. But that's what that's not actually on our agenda yet tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to touch on that.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, thank you. And I can essentially support staff's recommendation as written, and I'll give a little background as why. When I first came on the water board, as you know, a number of months ago, I was on when they had the discussion to seek funding for the low-impact design and was involved with that discussion and thought it was pretty valuable. And it was a little disappointing, and I think part of a problem of why we hear so late is staff is talking to staff, and, you know, for many years there was not an elected official on these regional boards, and there was just lots of reasons why that occurred. But as you know, statewide, cities became more interested in the last year or so, and it was a great learning experience for me to be on the board, and something that I'm seeking to do along with the current chair of our five county regions board is to seek out working directly with elected officials more, because we tend to hear this stuff a little late in the game, and I'm working on that we seek and actually have presentations on some of this to the COGS in each county and more directly with elected officials. And it was disappointing that we mentioned this session we had on low impact design, and I think I was the only elected official in our particular area, and I think it would be beneficial if we join in that. One thing that I had learned in sitting through a few water board meetings is a lot of our problems are around some definition of terms, and when I was just considering applying for the water board, I sat in on a discussion where I heard the board, before I was on it, debate the term redevelopment versus development, and it was painful to watch because cities just use those terms differently than the water board was using them. And one thing that that happened with that is early on is I did get to meet Dr. Inglis of the Low Impact Design Center, and she is a phenomenal person. She came in and really helped staff, the board, and cities agree on some terminology that really helped get some headway and really solved a lot of issues. I won't go into repeating that, but she also is a national leader in low-impact design, and that's, I think, the water board's intention is to not have a one-size-fits-all. I've seen a lot of examples where one solution may actually make the situation worse in a particular area. You need a menu to choose from. I think the water board has a desire to do that, and what I was very impressed, again, with Dr. Inglis that we have available to us in our area, and again, this was something that the state water board saw as this is such a good project. The state water board is funding this, and we just happen to have our region housing this operation and have access to this and kind of get the first shot at this. And as far as participating with this study, I think it's very valuable because it's almost developing templates, as was said, that we can use that we might apply in our area, and it'll save us a lot of design costs. And I think we're actually a lot farther along than we realize. And I think a perfect example, I think, is just behind the high school. Notice how we drop that curb down and we have the water from the street running off into a planter area rather than down a gutter into the creek. Gives an opportunity for that street runoff to get some natural filtration. And these are the kind of things what they're talking about in low-impact design. I think another good example is over here on our housing project we did in partnership with, where we just had a non-permeable surface, actually had a gravel bed under pavers and allowed the water to soak in rather than just running off the street straight into the creek. And these things have been proven to be cost-effective for us, and I think that's what we're talking about. And I think regionally, this is something that we're going to feel pretty good about. Bigger concern is, on one hand, the state's giving these mandates, and then another state agency like Caltrans has come along and decided, well, we're going to eliminate the landscape buffers in the middle of the freeway, pave up to the center, channel all the water into wherever it goes, and that's actually the opposite of good design. And Council of Governments has been fighting that locally because they are doing it right in our area. And my concern is then that actually creates more of a water problem right into our area than that we then have to work against. So I think that's why, you know, it really needs to be a partnership of multiple jurisdictions because, you know, these waterways cross multiple boundaries. But I think the low impact design is and cooperating with all the other agencies with this leadership of this local center is going to be really win-win for us. And as far as then my concern too is when we talk about buffers, I kind of look at this a little bit like the problem we had when we're talking about development versus redevelopment. There's some terminology we got to address, but I'm a little more confident we can do that. I'm actually a little encouraged. Maybe the difference is I understand what you're saying more now, 6 months later. But I think there's some room that, for example, if you look at the a creek, you know, behind the high school on one side, yeah, there's a cliff. And on the other side, well, the other side of the creek is lower. It makes no sense to have a 30-foot setback here the same as a 30-foot setback here. And I think I'm assuming you're kind of looking at a common sense view on that, too, and that there may be, I'm assuming that if we have some other proposals, that some alternatives that might actually improve water quality in addition to just a one-size-fits-all, well, I'll just do the same buffer everywhere. Somewhere you might need it more, some places you might need less, that if we have some rationale to that, you're gonna listen.
Definitely.
So is anything I said wrong so far? Is that
just the Caltrans part?
Yeah. Well, I don't mind saying something about Caltrans. They have not helped.
There's a safety issue.
There you go.
There's
a safety issue.
But we are trying to do a green highways project off of that, so that you're not actually sending dirty water into the creek. That there would be some filtration.
Okay.
So.
Well, anyway.
But yes, Councilman O'Malley, you do have a much better grasp than you did when we talked about 6 months ago.
So that's the best compliment I'm going to get from you, isn't it? Thank you.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes, I don't have any problems going along with the first part of it. I still would like to get back to the creek buffer width. And can you tell me how the Regional Water Quality Board determines that 30-foot is the magic number?
They have a plan that they developed in 1994, and that's the number that's in there. Again, it's I think the last word is where practical or something like that. And so it's got a lot of sort of language in there that you can interpret. And so it's you know, some places 250 feet would probably be the best. But, you know, it depends on the hydrology of the system that you're working with. You know, the riparian area is there because there's water, right? And so we've you know, had grazing and agriculture and things like that have sort of taken away some of that, you know. And so we're trying, you know, with other areas where there is a lot of agriculture, we're trying to actually hold the line there. In the Salinas River corridor, they were trying to mow out, you know, 100 miles of the Salinas River riparian area. And that's because of for flood control and as well as agriculture there. So it depends on the area that you're at where that is. And so as a minimum, I guess 30 feet is what they try to stay with. But, you know, the city has a 20-foot buffer now, and it's not always, it's not, you know, there's some places that have been built closer than that, I understand. And so so I think there's some room for interpretation or in just exactly the value of that in that area and things like that. So
Who interprets that, the city or the Water Quality Board?
Your planning commission would be the first.
So there is an option with they can be flexible with that?
Yeah, because it'll be your ordinance that you'll be they'll be working against. So.
Okay, thank you.
I believe we actually decide that in December, that whole how we're going to deal with that language.
I was just addressing this.
Yeah, that's fine. Just saying that's just not tonight's decision.
Yep.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Yeah, and again, I wanted to clarify, tonight we're just saying we are receiving the plan that was submitted. It's actually not on our agenda about that we got a response to the plan, and we may want to appeal that. We can give some direction to that later, but we're also saying we would like to.
Could we make a motion to that and get it over?
Well,
with?
I think there's
the public.
Yeah,
oh.
We haven't. Yeah. And then there's the issue of participating in this study. But I did want to just make the point clear that I heard you say that you understand. When we talk about a setback, we currently have a 20-foot setback. That's in addition to our creek reservation. So in some places, there may be a 150-foot setback by the definition you're using.
Right.
And what you're saying is you're applying your definition overlaying in actual basically bank. So in the area where right now we have a 30-foot setback, or actually a 20-foot setback from our creek reservation, what you're saying is that's probably too much because we only need 20-foot from the bank is their definition. So if we say in some areas we may want to have a 30-foot setback, they're talking about from the creek. So actually along this creek right over here on the other side, there's like about 125-foot setback and then an additional 20-foot setback. By the Water Board's definition, we only need a 30-foot setback. You can argue against that? That means we have too much setback. And in other areas, for example, on this side, we don't have enough setback. So there may be some, I think there's some areas just before we even get into alternatives that, you know, we may be closer than we think we are. In fact, in some ways, it may make things easier, is what, and that's where you'd allow the Planning Commission maybe to have some judgment. Definitely.
You'll, as far as I understand, yeah, you have, you know, your biological input when the Planning Commission hears the you know, the request for building and permits and things like that.
Yeah.
So if the water board's telling you your setback's too big, you might want to listen.
Well, we're not discussing that tonight, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
We can give direction later to staff to say we want to discuss that.
So let's deal with
get the public.
From the public's point of view, we are going to be going over this again, and they are going to hear this. This is not passing
right.
The stormwater management recommendations.
Right.
So just to clarify.
Right.
So have we taken public comment yet?
And we haven't.
I don't see any more lights.
Quick.
So let's take some public comment. Anyone want to? We've kind of hashed it over pretty good here, so maybe there aren't any questions from the public. Seeing no one approach, I'll go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the council. And if there's no further discussion, I'll also take a motion.
Yeah, I move we adopt staff's recommendation to receive the update on the city's stormwater management plan, and then, two, that we go ahead and direct staff to participate in the joint hydro modification effort and... Let's end with that, and then we can come back on some more.
Anybody second? I'll second. Motion by Councilmember O'Malley, seconded by myself. Roll call, please.
Just let me check, because I saw, did staff need more direction than that?
No.
Okay.
No, God, no.
Okay. Roll call.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi?
Yes.
Mayor Bayrou?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
And does anyone want to make another motion regarding any other issue?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I would request that staff appeal the approval that we've received. Is that the right wording? Or you want to help me on it? Because I think we want to have some discussion on the buffer.
Can we wait till the 8th on that and let them do a little homework on it for us?
Okay, so we have enough we can have discussion on the 8th and still have time to issue an appeal if we think we need to.
That's correct, and it's not on the agenda, so we don't want you to deal with it tonight. We'll bring
Very
it back
good.
On the 8th.
So we're just, you will bring it back to us on the 8th. Then we're fine.
Next
so
session.
That can be part of their staff report and one of our options.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right, so where were we? Item C3. Strategic Planning 2010. Mr. McKinney.
Mayor and members of council, we're again gearing up for strategic planning. This city council has been aggressive as to our plans and goals and accomplishments. Obviously, a lot has happened in the last year. So we're preparing for the 2010. We've been doing a lot of work in the departments, and Rochelle and I have conducted a variety of community interviews. What I'd like to do tonight is talk to you about strategic planning, run our proposed process by you, make sure that the process is good, and assuming it's good, move into phase one and start getting some decisions made. In our normal strategic planning process, looks something like the next slide, like this. Normally, right after an election, we have an expanded strategic planning program where the city council would set forth goals and assess organizational strengths and weaknesses, and those things become then the foundation of a two-year budget and two-year goals. And in the mid-year, which would be this coming January, we check in, refine those goals, see how we're doing an accomplishment, perhaps eliminate or add goals to that list. And that would be our mid-year review, and then that will roll in again to the final year or to the following year, which would be a new set of two-year goals that goes along with the two-year budget process. This year for 2010, because there's been a lot of change in the economy, and certainly there's been a lot of accomplishments with respect to your goals, we are proposing to do a little more work than we would normally in the midterm about just checking in with both our environment and the trends that are going on around us, but analyze a little bit more our finances and the labor issues, how the organization's working in the economy, and check in with your goals and make sure that we're truly on board. So the process that we're proposing would start with the planning horizon, and really that's a time frame at which this plan's good for, and normally we pick that, or that is based on around what confidence we have in making future projections, and that confidence is eroded in these years. We're right now currently able to project like next Thursday, but hopefully we'll get beyond that. We want to review your mission statement with you and make sure that it's still supported by the City Council. We've done a draft environmental scan that we hope to review tonight, and then we'll cover some financial issues on December 8th. That would be the five-year strategy, what we see as the biggest threats to the organization, what our assumptions are, and if you agree with our assumptions, and how we move forward from here. Then we're proposing on January 7th, a Thursday evening, will be a special meeting, open, and there will be some closed session to this, would be around labor issues. And this would be a review of what the Myers-Milius-Brown Act says in terms of how the labor issues work, what our contracts look like, how they compare with other agencies in the area, and what we what we're experiencing in our financial picture as related to labor. Then we would have a council goals session. There was some questions about the ADE goals earlier in the meeting. Obviously, we know we've been accomplishing many of those with the stimulus programs we've put together and the permit processing and some of the attraction efforts we've done. But we'll review the general plan goals, the ADE goals, the City Council's goals, our progress on all of those goals, and then begin to check in on the goals that you have, which would then be a full-day strategic planning workshop that we're proposing for January 30th. It's a Saturday, an all-day meeting. And in that meeting, we would also do some organizational assessment. The council would review their goals. We would actually work through action plans, what it is you actually want, how we're going to measure that, who, what's going to be done by when, by whom kind of thing that we didn't really get to in the last year of strategic planning. So let me first check in. Is that process work for everybody? Okay, well, let me move on to phase one then.
Are you maybe I'm sorry. Maybe I missed it. Did you tell us about these dates before? We'll have to. And
I have mentioned them to everybody. You checked your calendar and said you were clear. You said if I beat January before anyone else, I was okay.
Okay, so now you're telling me those are the dates.
Those are the dates, January 7th and January 30th.
January 7th.
7th.
And
6 o'clock, Thursday night. And January 30th is an all-day Saturday, and we haven't established times. We'll probably want to talk about how early and late you want to go on that one. So in phase one, we just approved the strategic planning process. Planning horizon, is everybody good with us just sticking with this rotation and kind of keep it? You're going to look out 5 years for your financials, but everything else we'll try to keep really tight. How about on the mission statement is, I think I'm like three slides up. Sorry about that. There you go. Thank you. On the mission statement, everybody still good?
I still like it.
Okay, good. This is a list of issues. I keep this at my desk. You're welcome to email me. Community members can get a hold of you and add items. This list is really a fluid list up until that workshop on the Saturday of the 30th. And so really I'm just trying to capture any item that you want to discuss with your colleagues. So if you want to add items tonight or if you want to fire them to me through an email or bring them up at a council meeting, each meeting now from as we go through finances, then labor, then goals, we're going to raise this issue and say, are there any more issues tonight? Yeah, okay. So that we continue capturing the list.
Could I
do even have some since then.
Could I make a statement there? I mean,
yeah.
Usually we have a list this long, and realistically, when we deal with that 8-hour session or 6-hour, we can only touch on maybe 6-7 different issues. So in a way, the list is just a feel-good thing. I mean, honestly, I put stuff on it. It's hard. It would take a month, really, to go through the entire list. But anyway, just
it is. But it does help us to understand what's on your mind. It helps each other of you to understand what's on. And if there's something we're not clear on, we could ask for descriptions. Both city and RDA. Then the final action for tonight, we did an environmental scan. An environmental scan really is just sort of a check-in on what's our environment. We'll use that later down the road as we're developing our policies or we're considering our organization or we're looking at future scenarios for our organization. We'll kind of check in and say, wow, is that really what it looked like that people wanted for us based on what we thought their trends were? So it's broken into four areas: our customers, our competitors, our resource providers, and our regulators. And so we try to identify all the groups we see under that category, and then we go back and identify trends. Are they getting younger, older, more or less, wiser, not as involved, more involved? How does that work in terms of trends? And we've developed a draft for you. The department heads, we kind of keep this up annually because it's part of our strategic planning as well, so we can kind of see what resources we have out there to work with and how the community is moving with the organization. Were there any additions in the customer section that we missed or you felt were customers that we didn't create, add to that? Were there any trends of customers we got wrong or that you want to elaborate on? How about regulators? Were there any regulators you thought we missed outside of the Regional Water Quality Control Board? And any of those trends? How about for the resource providers? And then the competitors. So everybody's okay with generally, this, none of this is fixed in concrete. We're going to be able to, discuss it as we get down the road. We're just trying to create a body of evidence that we'll build assumptions off of. Okay, with that, that's our first phase of strategic planning. And next time we'll be a little more intense with the finance review.
This was easy, so that's good. He's leading us in nicely. So our council action is to approve the strategic planning program, approve the planning horizon, reaffirm the city's mission statement, which we've already done, develop a preliminary list of discussion issues, which we've already done.
Yep, you've made it through all of them.
And accept the draft environmental scan. So is there anything we need to make a motion for at this
nope.
point?
So far you're doing good.
Wow. Any other comments?
How about the public?
Sure. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Public comment. I'll go ahead and open up public comment for our employees that are here. And it's only 9 o'clock and nobody's here. This is pretty sad. Yeah. Okay, and seeing no one else approach the podium, we will close public comment. But thank you for reminding me of that, Mr. Clay. And let's see. Where are we? Council announcements and reports. Any from you guys?
Ellen, I'd just like to thank you for your service as the mayor this year. I think you conducted some very good meetings, and it's probably one of the most peaceful city councils we've had since I've been in town, and I think we really accomplished a lot, and just want to thank you for leading us through the year, and it's been very pleasant as my first year on the city council, and look forward to working with you again next year.
It's unanimous. There
Yay.
You go.
Okay, and I don't want to extend the meeting too long, but when I first came to the council asking for the city council resolution to encourage reduced waste by ending the use of plastic water bottles and styrofoam products by the city, I had several members of the public come to me and say, I'm really glad you did that, and why don't you try again and see if maybe you can talk to your council members and get that on the agenda so we can have our input. So I wanted to bring it back and have you guys consider putting this on the agenda. I did have some community members give me some additional facts. Raise your hand if you know that there is a huge garbage patch in the Pacific that's twice the size of Texas, and guess what it's composed of? Styrofoam and plastic. So. And the reason it's in the Pacific Ocean is due to ocean currents. But they're finding that this is killing more than 1 million seabirds and 1,000 mammals and sea turtles each year. And this was a statement by UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. And Plastic bags, bottle tops, and polystyrene foam coffee cups are often found in the stomachs of dead sea lions, dolphins, sea turtles, and others. So there's a lot of concern worldwide about this. And I had a picture. It didn't turn out very well, but I did print it out. This is the big traffic patch. I think everyone probably could save money by not buying bottled water. If there's council consensus, we'll put it on a future agenda, and I will provide the staff report because I am on the IWMA, and we'll only do it on a night that is not already loaded up with something else.
I can go along with looking at that.
Okay.
With educating the people.
I don't support this, and as far as reverse osmosis goes, it takes 4 gallons of water to produce 1 gallon in reverse osmosis, and I think our tap water is great here. I drink it all the time, but I can't support. I mean, plastic bottles are legal. Okay.
Oh no, I didn't say they're illegal.
My only question for my fellow council members is I think the IAWMA has a good solution proposal. It's something that if it comes back, I might even support. I think the question is there are a lot of things we've been looking at, like our 811, our water issues. I think there's some bigger bang for our buck for our time. If this is where we're going to put the time, I could see bringing it back if folks would consider implementing it. Because I heard some discussion last time that, well, we'd be willing to have some discussion, but probably wouldn't support it. So I think if you're saying you're willing to bring it back to discuss and you have a serious interest in supporting it, well, then it has some value. So I think if you're going to support it, then this is the time to kind of express that, you know, you're really going to get behind it if you're going to bring it back.
Okay.
I don't mind putting it on the agenda, but I don't believe that I would support it. So it's probably a waste of time if there's not a consensus that it could go forward.
So
I think as long as it doesn't really take any time, I think we're all living in a different world, and there's some new things out there that maybe some of us old-timers have a hard time adjusting to, me being at the top of the list. And I'm willing to look at it. I don't want to implement any laws or regulations, but if it's a proclamation, like we're saving our trees, we have proclamations for that. I have nothing against looking at it.
Proclamation sounds good.
And going ahead with it, is that what you had in mind, kind of like a proclamation?
Well, it's a resolution, and a resolution does affect policy. So yeah. You would encouraging people to have recycling at a city event. Right. It's nothing that's a law.
I don't have a problem.
That requires
I don't have a problem looking at it.
Excuse me. For staff.
That's the first step, and I believe I'll guarantee you.
UMA, and I talked to Wade a little bit about it today. That I would like to talk to staff a little bit about how that would affect any policies. So I would say pretty minimal, maybe a couple hours on their part.
I guess Wade's not there to.
Well.
Oh, there you are.
He's falling asleep.
You see this as a couple hours, or you see this as a major proposition?
No, I think that there's a couple of hours probably in there. It probably depends on the breadth of what you're going to do with the resolution. If you're going to change or create a policy, I think it's got kind of a varying scale, Mayor, and I'm looking for help. You know, you can go everywhere from not allowing people to use plastic bottles on city property to having some sort of advisory notice. And so depending on
my intent is advisory, just to let people know that, you know, you can buy other products that are non-styrofoam, and this is why we encourage you to not use styrofoam.
More educational.
So it's more educational advisory. But as a city, we already don't use bottled water. You know, we have the clause,
of course. We can't afford it.
We have the clause, you know, in an emergency situation, if bottled water is necessary, of course we can use it, of course. You know, nothing's ever ironclad, but
It's a step in the wrong direction.
Okay. Roll call. Let's do a roll call if there's support for this resolution.
So you'd need a motion and a second then.
I guess.
Why don't you just go ahead?
Okay. So I would like to agendize a resolution to reduce waste by the city of Atascadero, and encouraging people to not use plastic bottles and styrofoam.
I'll second.
And does that basically
mean you would do the report, it would not be a staff report, and that the outcome you're looking for is educational, not restrictive.
Correct. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
pass, Tom. I'll go first.
No.
Jerry, why do you have to mute?
I'm going to say yes on that. If you keep it to educational like that, could be some value.
Thank you.
Councilmember Clay?
No.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Barreau?
Yes.
4-1, motion passes.
Okay. Don't believe there's any more announcements and reports. Councilmember Fonzie?
Yeah, I wanted to...
You've got a copy of them right there. Al does, but... in fact, they've cooked the books on global warming. The planet is not warming. It's actually cooling. The oceans are not rising at all. And the polar bears, there's more polar bears now than there ever was. So in saying this, I hope people will watch the news about this and get the straight dope. But what bothers me is we're doing a lot of legislative stuff. You know, the word green now and all this is very, political correct and so on. And we have to watch ourselves on all these policies that we're making on bogus material. So check it out. You folks out there, make your own decisions. But that's my message.
Councilmember Fonzie.
I was wondering if the council would have a consensus regarding providing some kind of clarification to staff and to the commissions regarding city signage. There are city signs that are proposed for different parks and properties in our city, and I'd like to have some uniform guidelines so that we know whether there would be a logo, for instance, on every sign. So I'm wondering if we could bring this back at some date in the near future to discuss some kind of a uniformity so that our tourism would be promoted and we'd have something that would be identifiable and brand us.
We have lights, unless you want to just...
This is lights about
this.
Yes. Okay, Councilmember Clay.
Yes, I think this is an important issue, and the youth center, you know, it's Colony Park or whatever, I don't know exactly what it is, but I think it would have, if it had come to the council, and certainly with myself, I would have liked to seen, something in regards to youth in that on that sign, which isn't there now. So I think that these signs are very important. We have some coming up now to the Lake Park and one thing or another, and I think that, I don't know about a policy, but I think the City Council should approve signage that is that important myself.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. I'm hoping that now we have a new contractor on board. We've done a lot of studies on the tourism and the value of branding and promotion and being uniform in our message. And I would like to see a consistent city logo identifying all of our locations. And I think that
now versus where we're trying to head. I guess I'm not really sure what the scope of the discussion.
Part of like the
be.
Bottles, we probably just need to get it back for discussion at a council meeting. So, you know, it's the same like bottles.
Does staff we'll have detail. Enough direction
we
to understand what
bottles.
Robert is looking for?
I think so. I think that it probably is a good discussion at strategic planning, like you just mentioned.
Well, it's in January.
I mean, the current process, I don't want to argue with Councilmember Clay, but the City Council did name the Colony Park and did leave out the youth, and we only put a sign what that name was.
Yeah.
And so that was a City Council approval. So generally on projects, it's going to be included that. I think it's a perfect policy that Councilmember Fonzie brings up to discuss.
Wade, I agree with you on that, but I think if it had brought the sign back and we looked at it, I don't remember looking at the sign, but then I don't remember a lot of things anymore, okay? But, you know, I would have probably said, hey, you know, maybe the youth ought to be in there.
Councilmember Kelly.
I think it's worth looking at. I think even the new bridge on 41 has got the city insignia on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
The Lewis Avenue Bridge has got the insignia on it, and I don't think we should be everywhere.
Absolutely.
So, right. Yeah.
Well, I know it's all the wayfinding signs.
Yeah, are and any place there's city property or city. I know Kiwanis, anytime we build some, there's a Kiwanis logo there. So I think the city should be the. I've got.
We should be proud of ourselves.
So it sounds like we have consensus to bring that back at strategic planning?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're proud of what
we've
accomplished.
If we get to it.
We'll get to it.
I have one other,
Sure.
if there's time. I'm wondering if there's a consensus on the council to bring back the business stimulus program, loan program, for downtown affordable housing. I know I've been approached by several businessmen and have a greater clarification in what this program entails, and I think some of the information has come to other council members as well. I don't believe it would take a great deal of staff preparation. We could use the report previously used and just bring it back for a yes or no vote rather than to continue it and have it fall off. I think it's an important program, and we need to get it back there.
So I'm not sure. These lights from this issue? I'm getting confused on the issues. Councilmember Kelly. No, I wasn't sure if you guys had...
A question for Wade. I wrote up a review of that, I think, and submitted to Jim and yourself. Is that something I can give to the other council members without violating the Brown Act?
Yes.
Thank you.
And you are changing your mind and would like to reconsider. Basically, the same report would come back to us, and we would again.
That's not quite it, Tom. It was voted to be continued. It wasn't an up or down vote at that point in time.
I thought it was.
So I think
down.
I wanted to bring it back and take it to the vote at this point, rather than ask for the additional information I had previously requested.
I thought it was.
We voted
dead.
To continue.
We voted. Did we vote to continue that?
We wanted certain things added, more information, which has now surfaced. So I don't think we need to plow that ground again.
Okay. Well, I would support bringing it back. We'll have that discussion then. Mm-hmm.
My understanding is we voted it down.
Uh-oh. That's what I thought.
3-2. No.
No.
Right. And one of the no's is saying they'd like to reconsider, which... No.
Then we give them a list of stuff that we wanted them to go over.
Laundry list, yeah.
So will they come back addressing that list of stuff that we... or are we just going to bring the thing
that's
back
not
in
what
its original
was
state?
Suggested.
No,
just bring it back.
As is.
As is. That I would support.
I supported it the first time, so I support that.
Yeah.
Jerry, I guess we have consensus.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I still have some problems with it.
Are we supporting Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie? And I think we have four, so that.
Well, I don't mind bringing it back. I'm just trying to tell you, still have some problems with it. And I think we don't just bring it back and vote on it. Let's bring it back and discuss it, for crying out loud.
Well, it will. It's on the agenda, so it will be discussed.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay. Any other council announcements and reports?
It's half of our agenda.
One more.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know whether public are aware that certain members of the council will be gone this next week going to learn about emergency planning in Maryland. And so if they email us, we may or may not be able to access them. And we would like to refer their emails on to city council if possible. City staff, excuse me.
And that will leave Jerry and I leading Christmas carols for the Christmas tree lighting at Sunken Gardens. So that could be a show in itself.
That will be a show, and I would like to assure everyone, you can send me your emails, and I will respond on the spot. And
wow.
If you need to get something to Roberta, I'll pass it on for her.
Yeah, that'll be worse than Climate Gate, I'll tell you for sure.
Well, I hope you get some snow or something exciting when you're there. Okay. Committee reports. I don't really have any reports. Mayor Pro Tem, any report?
Just the EBC.
Mr. Clay? Mr. Kelly? Mr. O'Malley?
I'll just mention that I today got a letter from the governor's office of being reappointed to the Regional Water Quality Control Board because I was filling a partial term as a city representative. And so now it's a 4-year term if I survive. So I was pleased. It's been an honor and a good learning experience.
Congratulations. Okay, any reports from staff?
No
Mr.
report.
McKinney?
And nobody? Brian has no
Marcia?
Report.
Nobody? Okay, so I guess we can adjourn. 9:35, not too bad.